much about. So easy. You got to put it in perspective.
Believe it or not, disco fever hasn't caught on everywhere in America. Coming up is my special report on a place where it's against the law to boogie. A town without pity for disco.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
VIP! Ah!
Leading in Iowa, leading in New Hampshire, leading in North Carolina, leading in South Carolina, leading in Nevada, leading everywhere.
I've had it.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. You know, not a lot of things make me mad. Prejudice, traffic, bad waiters. BJ Novak is a children's book author now. How does that happen?
Tomato, tomato.
It's tomato, tomato.
You say tomato, tomato. I say tomato, tomato.
And now,
why would anyone put themselves and their loved ones through something like this? I wouldn't pretend to know.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:35. It's Thursday, the 13th of August.
Yep. Let's hear it.
That's some weak-ass applause for the return of the monkey. Come on, we can do better than that, you guys. This is the time every year where Kevin has to go off and deal with the taping of the America's Best Dance Crew. Now
Thank
that
you.
That's back on MTV.
Thank you for noticing it.
So you are, as a former champion, what do you advise the kids? Are you judging this season? What are you doing?
A choreographer.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a choreographer.
Yeah,
okay.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
How's everybody? How's it going this Thursday morning?
Doing great. Just watching Kevin stretch over there. His leg up over his head.
Kind of sexy,
you just
right?
Just got the dance in you.
Well, dance or die. You know, that's my slogan.
I've heard it.
Right.
We weren't even on the air yet when Ali said the B word this morning.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She can't help herself.
She can't stop talking about...
You know I do it on purpose and it makes me laugh.
But what about the first 250 times you did it?
Not on purpose.
Yeah.
The B word is a city that we're growing to hate in Massachusetts, by the way, that Ali manages to find a connection in every person that's brought up, mm-hmm. every story that comes up.
Yep.
I mean, we could be talking about Soundgarden. She'll say, yeah, they played in Boston once. I mean, it just like out of the blue, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add to the conversation.
And it never ends.
And it never ends, yes.
And it delights me every time.
So we have a guest, apparently, who one time was in Boston.
When he came out of his mother.
Right. So.
Yeah. So, and that matters.
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
Just pointing it out.
Right. Just want to make sure that we're aware of it.
Good.
So.
Excellent.
We need to institute, you know how some households have like a swear jar? We need to institute some sort of fine when
I like
when
it.
Boston or Massachusetts are brought up.
I just.
Or Maine.
Just, yeah, New England, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I like it.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've got a big show today, but let me get started with this. This is a curious duck right here. This is a Perth, Australia university professor who is also a performance artist. He is growing an ear on his arm as part of an art project.
I'm sorry.
What?
I thought you said he's growing an ear his arm.
Yes. Now, we have seen, I believe we've seen other stories where people grow body parts on their arm to save them, right? Surgery,
right.
Where they save them. This guy's just doing it strictly as an art project. He doesn't have any medical need. He has two perfectly functioning ears on his head. He's growing a third ear. He had a medical team insert a biopolymer scaffold in the shape of an ear under his skin, and then over 6 months, tissue and blood vessels grew around it. So it is partly surgically constructed and partly cell grown. It's taken almost a decade to get to this point, but he is not done yet. He is growing an earlobe. He's growing an earlobe on the ear, cultivated from his own stem cells. And then the next step is he's going to put a microphone in that earlobe with a wireless transmitter inserted so the ear can be connected to the internet via Wi-Fi. Now, why do you suppose he's doing that?
Ear can be connected to the internet.
Oh, he can talk on the phone through his arm?
So he can hear things on the internet?
So people on the internet can hear what he's doing. It allows people listening online to hear whatever the ear is hearing.
Nope.
So what he wants to do is be his art project is that anyone around the world can constantly tune in to listen to whatever he's listening to.
And how is it? Seriously,
he hasn't put the microphone in
yet.
Oh,
okay.
Eventually, it might even be GPS-enabled so that he and his ear can be tracked online. He says, this ear is not for me. I've got two good ears to hear with. This ear is a remote listening device for people in other places. They'll be able to follow a conversation or hear the sounds of a concert. Wherever I am is wherever you are.
His ear is for everyone, you guys.
That's his ear is for everyone. Exactly.
A decade. Yes. He's been working on this a decade.
Yeah. Yes, because I guess it takes a while for all that stuff to grow. I don't understand this sentence at all. I hope people will become curious about what is, what in actuality is a body and how a body performs in the world. Is it really necessary to operate as if we are a self or a soul or a mind under these rather medieval entities that we could really do without? He lost me there.
I don't understand those words.
Yeah, I don't either. So anyway, he's the man with three ears, and at some point, eventually, he hopes to turn on the microphone so that we can all go wherever the doctor goes.
And will you?
Yeah, I might.
Yes,
I mean,
you will.
I think I might. I think many people will check it out when the news is released that it's up and running. Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's what he's doing with his day.
All right. I think we win.
Yeah.
I think I'm so, okay. Too.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
I don't think you know what the hell you're talking about.
Very possible. Doto.
That is all I care about.
The International Man of Mystery.
Yay!
He should be driving down here right now. Doto is on the way.
We've never had a guest that's more difficult to book.
Yeah.
Doto.
But more worth it.
Correct.
By the way.
I'd have him every day.
Well,
and Allie's going to fall in love with him. See, we got that.
Everybody has told me.
Right.
It's
when you meet him in
magic.
Person, the magnetism. I mean, honestly, I don't know how any woman resists Doto, the International Man of Mystery.
Correct.
The only thing is, you got to understand you're going to be spending a lot of time alone if you hit your wagon to Doto Star, because he's got places to be and things to do.
Well, sure. I would think she would be able to travel with him. No?
Well, she's got a job.
Yeah, but I mean, you wouldn't need one if she's married.
Oh,
Doto.
Yeah, that's true. Doto could take care of you. Well, we'll work out all the details once you fall
in
love.
Thank you. Just let me know.
Okay. We will. We'll fill you in.
Okay.
No worries. Mumford & Sons is coming to the Troub?
Well, I guess I am.
I am unclear what we're allowed to say at this point. I know that it's an announcement we have to make or something. I don't know the details.
All right. So maybe they are, maybe they're not.
That sounds about right.
We're going to give away some tickets in about a half hour for a show someplace.
It's a huge band in a little place is what I'm told.
Wow. Well, who knew? Process servers on today's show. We've got to talk about this because of the Justin Bieber story. Somebody said, hey, you want to pet this puppy? And it wasn't code. It was actually a puppy.
Right.
And Justin said, oh, how cute. You've been served. And they gave him the paperwork. So I love that. And that's a weird thing in our society where you actually have to surprise somebody with papers.
Yeah.
And there's a whole system of how to fool them and how to get close and how to make sure that they know they're served. And it's just a bizarre thing.
I'm surprised you're not a process server, Kevin.
I would love it.
Because you love espionage and being a spy. But B, every time you serve somebody, you could yell, you got served, and then you could dance.
You're just mad because you got served.
Right. I mean, you would never get tired of saying that to people.
It's true. That is true. I need to consider that.
You just mad because you got started. Then you gotta, your crew jumps out with a beatbox and you're boom, 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 boom.
I'm sorry, what was the... All right. Dr. Drew's on the show today. Very excited about that. We have Nat Faxon in studio.
Where's he from, Allie? Do you know?
I believe Boston. Mm. Thanks for asking.
A dollar.
And Dan O'Toole, we think.
Sure.
Just like last week. Oh, wait.
On the program today, talking sports. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
Mumford & Sons are going to be in town next week doing a couple of shows at the Forum. And they are also going to be doing a special K-Rock show at the Troubadour, as Kevin announced.
Yeah, that was a big announcement. A lot of fanfare. That was really exciting radio.
We really did bring it to life with that major, major concert announcement.
Caught everyone's attention.
I didn't realize that was the announcement.
That was it.
It was. Yeah. You were the big news.
First person to say it, Kevin, so well done.
Yep. Excellent.
Mumford & Sons, one of the biggest bands in the world, playing one of the smallest clubs in L.A. at the Troub. If you want to go, we are looking for Mumford & Sons fans right now. You got to know their music, and we'll give you a chance to win your way in. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game just after 6. Ralph is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
At a press conference yesterday, Gloria Allred once again brought out several women who each told how they'd been victimized by Bill Cosby. Three more women now accusing Bill Cosby of sexual assault.
Three more, you guys.
Colleen Hughes said she met Bill while she was working as a stewardess on a flight heading to Los Angeles in the 70s. When they landed, Cosby offered to take her to lunch to Beverly Hills. What a sweet man. Took her to the Fairmont Hotel. After they arrived at the hotel, Hughes took a shower in Cosby's hotel room while he watched TV. After leaving the bathroom in another outfit fully dressed, she shared a glass of champagne with him. That's the last thing she remembered. Several hours later, she woke up confused and realized that she had been sexually assaulted. Another victim, a former actress named Linda Ridgway Whitedeer, accused Cosby of sexually assaulting her while she sat in a chair waiting for an audition. She said she was not drugged during the assault, but apparently if you get within eye level of his junk, you're going to get a face full of it. That's another repeating theme in a lot of these accusations.
Dude.
You not want a face full of his junk. That's horrific.
Eden Turl, another former actress. She was on The Cosby Show when she was 22 years old today. She ended up alone in a room with Cosby, in which he then sexually harassed her as well. So the three more actresses joining this class action lawsuit, which joining the class action lawsuit, which is good news because the court has ordered Cosby to give a sworn deposition on October the 9th over the assault lawsuit filed by Judith Hill. So something's going to come of this. We're going to find out something. Either he's going to continue to lie or maybe some details will be revealed. More than what just the woman's side of things.
Mucho sex in America.
Mucho sex in America. Got a good point there, Rodney. Hey, finally, it's what we've all been waiting for. The Michael Bolton sitcom is coming to television.
Yay.
You said Michael Bolton. What
you
did you
heard
mean?
Me. What's going on? Michael Bolton will be starring in a brand new ABC comedy series called House Sitters. It's described as sort of a modern-day Three's Company.
Can he act?
I don't know. He was funny in that Lonely Island video.
Yes, he was.
Right? Yeah. He was.
That's it.
I guess that's all you need. I guess that's all you need to be on ABC.
Huh.
And speaking of television, Supergirl news from CBS. They have cast True Blood actress Britt Morgan as Livewire. Woo!
Oh, yes. Livewire, he or she is so such an important part of that story of
Supergirl. Come on, you know who Livewire is, right?
Sure.
Come on. Kevin, yeah. Who's Livewire?
Livewire is the guy.
Girl.
That has a connection in her brain to the internet.
No, that's the guy with the ear in his hand.
Oh, okay.
The guy growing the ear.
Then he has all the information that's going on currently.
No, it's a her.
It's a her.
And Livewire is a radio DJ, by the way.
Okay.
Yes.
It's about time.
Who, through a freak accident, is able to become electricity and go through wires and shock people and electrocute them.
She just shocks them? Oh, electrocutes them.
Yes. Yeah, she shocks them. You're ugly! Ah! She shocks them.
She was in 7 Sundays in May also.
She was also one of the characters in 7 Sundays in May. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Debbie Mazar is 51 years old today. Actor Sebastian Stan. You may know him best as the Winter Soldier. From Captain America, Bucky Barnes, 33 years old today. And legendary Partridge and multimedia star, radio icon, Danny Bonaducci, celebrates his 56th birthday today. Hey, everybody, how's it going? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Major announcement time. Mumford & Sons is going to play the Troubadour.
What? Are you kidding me?
How
what?
About that?
That's incredible news, Kevin. Thank you for sharing that
absolutely.
In such dynamic fashion. Yeah, Mumford & Sons, by the way, they're playing sold out Monday night at the Forum. Correct? Is that the Forum? Yeah, Forum. And there are a couple seats left for Tuesday night. But then on Wednesday night, the 19th, they're going to do a special K-Rock show at the Troubadour. And that's where you come in. If you're on the phone at 1-800-520-1067, your chance to win tickets to see Mumford & Sons up close with a game that we like to call Hawking the Hits.
A guy who's lean, a guy who's clean, a guy who talks with a machine. It's time for Stephen Hawking now. Stephen Hawking now. It's time for Hawking the Hits.
Stephen Hawking.
Hey, Dr. Hawking, how are you today, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're fine. I don't remember. Are you you're a fan of the rock music? You enjoy the stuff we play here on the Kevin and Bean Show, right?
The Hawk loves to rock.
And I understand you're very familiar with the music of Mumford & Sons, and you're going to help us give away some tickets here today.
I love Mumford & Sons, and I also play the banjo.
Oh, how are you able to? You can't use your hands.
That's for me to know and you to find out.
Okay. All right. Mysterious ways. All right. How's the game going to play, please?
I will read lyrics from a Mumford and Sons song. Mm-hmm. The listener will have to identify that song.
Okay, that sounds easy. And if you get it right, you go into the drawing. One person on the line will win tickets to see Mumford and Sons at the Troubadour. Who is our first contestant, Kevin?
Marissa in Montebello. Hi there.
Hi, good morning, Kevin Bean and She Bean.
Hello, Marissa.
I still feel like somehow that's insulting to Allie to call her that.
Oh, it is.
No, hey, make no mistake.
Thank you, Marissa. I feel it's a compliment, too.
You're wrong.
Well, the smartest man in the world knows. You're on with Dr. Hawking. Listen up. He's going to do a Mumford & Sons lyric for you. You tell us the song.
Raise my hands, paint my spirit gold, and bow my head, keep my heart slow.
Oh, my God, I'm going so blank. Can you say,
Nope, can't do it again.
I'm going to go with, I'm going to take a guess and say Little Lion Man.
I'm sorry, that's I Will Wait.
I Will Wait, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks,
sorry,
Marissa.
Thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Art in La Puente. Hey, Art.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man. What's up?
I'm more active than this guy is.
I'm super nervous.
What's up? You don't sound nervous at all.
I know.
All right. Sound high. All right. Here's your song.
So open up my eyes. Tell me I'm alive. This is never gonna go our way if I'm gonna have to guess what's on your mind.
That's Believe.
It is
that
Believe.
That is Believe, man.
Wow.
Right?
And by the way, a very soulful performance, Stephen Hawking.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
All right, let's go to Chris and Pico Rivera. Hi, Chris.
Hey, good morning. Morning, Allie.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Stephen.
I know I tried. I was not stable and flawed by pride. I miss my sanguine eyes. So hold my hands up, breathe in and breathe out.
Oh, man. Sounds so much different.
You think?
I'm going to guess with Snake Eyes.
Sorry, that's Lover of the Light.
Lover of the Light, yeah. Thank you for playing, though. We appreciate the call.
All right, let's go to Monica in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Hawking the Hits. Here's Stephen.
Thanks.
But I will hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck.
Yep.
Right.
Here's a hint. It's a Mumford & Sons song. We played a lot on K-Rock.
You have, and I recognize it.
Named?
I'm going to say Bowel.
Sorry, that's The Cave.
The Cave is what we were looking for.
There's that one, too.
Yeah, there is that one, too.
All right, true. So far it's just Art in the drawing, but we move on. Who's our next contestant?
It is Noelle in San Pedro. Hi.
Hi. Sorry, I'm at a boot camp right now.
You're at boot camp?
You're at boot camp?
Yeah.
Give me 20.
Like military boot camp or some sort of exercise thing?
I'm at boot camp.
What's happening?
Do we need to send authorities?
Can you stop doing crunches for a minute to talk to us?
I'm sorry, I'm on right now. Can I go? Thank you.
What?
Okay, ready. I'm sorry.
I don't know what's happening.
All right, are we play or we not play?
Let's play.
Ready.
All right, go.
All right,
I'm
let's
ready.
Play.
Rate yourself and rake yourself. Take all the courage you have left and waste it on fixing all the problems that you made in your own head.
The Cave.
No, I'm sorry.
Little Lion Man. That's the Little Lion Man.
That was Little Lion Man.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm so retarded.
Okay.
Back to lunges.
All right. This is a tough game, you guys.
It is. Jill in Seal Beach is next. Hi, Jill.
Jill?
Morning, guys.
Hey, Jill. What's going on? All right, listen up. Here's Dr. Stephen Hawking doing a Mumford & Sons lyric. You're playing for tickets to the Troubadour. Good luck.
Been wondering for days how you left me. Nope. Let's start again. Been wondering for days how you felt me slip your mind, leave behind your wanton ways. I want to learn to love in kind.
Lover's eyes?
No.
It's the wolf.
All right, one more, you guys.
We've only gotten one so far that's gotten it right.
Yeah.
And he's half asleep.
This is, please, Brittany, save us from that guy. Hi, Brittany.
Good morning.
All right. How have you been doing on hold? Everybody else has failed.
I'm good. I'm commuting to work right now.
Okay, good. All right.
Not the question, but good luck.
Here's Stephen Ogden.
Thank you.
Cause I know my weakness, know my voice, and I'll believe in grace and choice. And I know perhaps my heart is farce, but I'll be born without a mask.
Oh, gosh. Is that Broken Crown? Oh, what was it?
It was Babel.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Thanks for playing, though.
All right, let's do a drawing.
We have a winner.
Let's do a drawing and try to figure out if we can pick anyone but Art.
Someone wake up the winner.
Hey, Art.
Yes?
You're going to see Mumford & Sons at the Troop.
Oh, my God.
There he is. Now he's back. Now he's back.
Hey, Art. Oh, my God.
All right, Art. Thanks, Art.
Oh, my God.
See you in the handicap section, Art. Stephen Hawking.
I need some babe.
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
Woo! I need a woman. I was in Vietnam. I definitely need a Korean woman.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called it?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
I drank your milkshake.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
And now the further adventures of Toto, international man of mystery, man.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, he is here. He is in person, in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show, the international man of mystery. Our friend Doto joins us on K-Rock. Hey, Doe.
Hey, how's it going, Bean? It's been a while, Bean.
It's been a long time. Go ahead and get right up on that microphone, Doto. Welcome, sir. How you been? You've been out of the country again, usual?
Not really. Maybe up to Canada for a month or so, Kevin Bean.
Okay. Because
I was visiting my uncle.
That's out of the country, though.
That is out of the country.
Yes.
So, all right, you get a lot of time off. It seems like you have a lot of vacation.
And Bean, can I tell you something? I have a concern, Bean.
Of course.
I've been seeing a Korean lady, let's say, for 4 months, right, Kevin Bean?
Okay.
And let's say that...
Stop right there. Toe gets right into it, doesn't he?
He does. He's got
not a lot of small talk with Toe.
No time for chit-chat.
Bean, because I'm kind of dying to tell you about this, Bean.
Okay. All right. Korean woman.
Let's say that I've been seeing... I met her at Starbucks, let's say, in July of 2014, right?
Okay.
And then I saw her, let's say, for 4 months, right, from March to June, right?
Okay.
And she's 46 years old, and she's not... She says that she's not working... Because she has some physical issue, but she was a nurse.
Okay.
And then she's pretty depressed and she's lonely.
Uh huh.
And then I remember I did talk to her a couple of weeks ago. She told me that I couldn't see you anymore because God tells me not to see you anymore. Is that true, Kevin Bean? Is it just an opinion when you say that I hear voices from God?
Wait. So the Korean woman that you've been dating for 4 months last year?
No, I mean this year, Bean. From March to June.
Okay. Says to you, I can't date you anymore because I heard from God and He told me.
Because she told me I hear voices from God. Is that true, Bean, or is that just an opinion? Can you be on? But which one is that an absolute fact? Or you think that's more of an opinion, Bean?
I think if the lady has God talking to her, who are we to question that? I mean, it sounds to me like that's coming right from God.
What? I think it's just an opinion. I think it's just an excuse.
So you mean she's using God as an excuse, right?
Yes.
Why would people do that, Kevin?
Sometimes it's uncomfortable to tell people things.
Sometimes it's uncomfortable.
You know, like if I'm having trouble telling you that I don't want to date you, perhaps I bring in God or somebody else that says I can't do it.
She told me that she's having some physical and some psychological issues, too, by herself.
Okay. And what are those? Do you know anything about that?
Well, she didn't get into too much detail.
Okay.
But she just told me that she divorced her husband maybe a couple years ago because of some personal issue.
Okay.
And if she's 46 and I'm 39 or 40. Is it likely that's going to work out? Is it probably not going to likely from everything you heard,
well, wait,
Kevin?
Wait. Age-wise, it's fine.
Yeah.
Age is just a number.
Right. Yeah. She's, what, 7 years older than you? That's
yeah.
all right.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the talking to God part.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin's right. I think maybe she's trying to not hurt your feelings and trying to make herself feel better by not claiming, not taking responsibility for what she's about to tell
you. How many times did you date her?
About 3 months.
3 months. I know, but how many times?
Maybe 10 times.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, because I know this person, Bean. She say this, but a lot of times she does change her mind from my observing of her behavior.
Uh-huh.
Just because she's saying no last time, it doesn't mean it could be forever, because people do change their mind.
They do change their mind, yeah.
Certainly, yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Now, Doe, are you upset by this? Did you like her a lot?
You know what? I have other female friends too, Bean.
And are you dating them?
I'm looking into it.
Looking into it.
I think Doe's in his player stage.
And then I have a question, Bean. Have you ever heard of a dating website called Zoosk?
No, I don't think I have, Doe.
No. And those
tell me about it.
Z-O-O-S-K?
Yeah, Z-E-O-S-K. Are those do they really work like people say it does?
Well, I think that lots of people meet on dating sites. I mean, they're very popular. I think more people meet online now than meet in person, Doe.
Yeah.
Are you online site?
I was just researching.
Just thinking about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Doe, do you mind if I ask you a question?
Yes, Bean.
Okay. You spent quite a bit of time in Oregon earlier this year.
Yeah.
You spent quite a bit of time in Canada earlier this year. Yeah. Yet at no time did you visit me in Seattle, even though I have been inviting you to come hang out with me for years. What's up with that?
I just don't have your address, Bean.
Okay, Doe, he could give you his address.
Right.
Yeah. You laughed after that a little bit.
Yep.
Are you just trying to spare his feelings?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I'm
Did God thinking. Tell you not yeah. to visit me?
No, no, nope.
Bean that God told you that.
Yeah,
that
Bean, you out of it. God maybe told me that.
Yeah!
Bean. And you should go to church, Bean.
Right,
oh,
Bean.
Wow.
So now it's on me. I'm just saying, you're always welcome, Doe. I would love
Thanks,
to
Bean.
Have you. I'd love to have you here, and I'd love to show you around. I think we'd have a really good time.
Thanks, Bean.
Okay. Now, Doe, we have...
Ask Doto.
What?
Okay, we can talk about that.
I know. I haven't done that since 2002.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, we're fine to do Ask Doto. I'd love to invite our listeners to call in if they have a question for the great Doto, the International Man of Mystery, at 1-800-520-1067. What kinds of questions are you most comfortable answering, Doe?
I like to answer questions about dating.
Dating. Okay, so personal relationships,
relationship
dating,
advice.
Restaurants,
okay.
Vacations.
Okay. You are world traveling.
And also hotels.
Hotels.
And
okay.
hotels.
So right. if you have any questions about any of those topics,
okay.
you call 1-800-520-1067, and we have Doto answer your questions.
Now, Doe, one of the reasons I know you want to do Ask Doto again is because
I would like to try to make it in the entertainment, and Dave told me that if you're going to help you make it, you need to you need to be committed.
Right.
That's correct.
Well, you know why he's told you that is because we try to get you on like every day of the year, and you come on like twice a year.
So how about I like
it's
to
so difficult.
Yeah, I know, Kevin, but I like to make a commitment to do it like on a weekly basis.
On a weekly basis.
If it's fine with you guys.
Well, it's easy for you to say that now, but when we call you next week, you're going to be, I'm Tokyo. I mean, it's going to be impossible to get you on.
Let me put my money where my mouth is, Bean.
Okay.
Oh.
What does that mean?
Which means that I'm pretty much going to be committed to my word.
Okay, so you're now going to make a serious commitment.
No, that's just a saying,
Kevin.
Okay.
You're now committed to making it in the entertainment industry.
Yes, Bean.
What's the ultimate job for you, Doe? Like down the road, what do you see yourself doing that would make you happy?
I like to do something like talk show or radio talk show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would listen to that all day, every day.
It'd be great. You'd be perfect. All right. Like Have you do. Considered doing a podcast, Doto?
I didn't consider that, Bean.
Yeah, maybe we should start with that.
Yeah, that might be a good way for you to get experience.
Podcast.
Thanks, Bean.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll work on that off the air. We'll open up the lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you've got vacation questions, you've got hotel questions, restaurant questions, dating questions.
And they can ask me a question about tacos, Mexican food, and
tostadas. Specifically tacos and tostadas?
Yeah, and bracamole.
Bracamole?
Yeah, bracamole, the green stuff. What do you call that?
Broccoli?
Broccoli?
No, broccamole, the Mexican stuff, like avocado.
Oh, guacamole.
Broccamole.
Oh, guacamole.
Oh,
guacamole.
I see.
Guacamole. Okay, all right. So 1-800-520-1067, your chance to ask Doto next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Doto, International Man of Mystery, man. Yeah.
Got a lot of program coming up here this morning, including Nat Faxon, Academy Award winner, by the way, and the co-star of Married on FX. Also, we'll talk some sports with Dan O'Toole from Fox Sports Live. And we're going to want to talk to you if you are a process server or if you have ever been served in a curious way. I am also, like you, Kevin, fascinated with that job. Anyway, that's coming up just after 7. Right now, it's your chance to get on the phone at 1-800-520-1067 and ask Doto.
And now, here he is, the man with one eye on the prize and the other one on your heart. It's the Doto Show.
All right, we're taking calls.
And here's your host, Doto!
Doto indeed, yes. We're taking your calls on vacations and restaurants and broccamoni and...
Tacos.
Tacos is good, too, and dating sites. Whatever you have for the International Man of Mystery, Doto, he is here in studio with us. Let's start with, how about Ian on line one, please, in Chino Hills.
All right. Hi, Ian.
Hey, how you doing?
We are good. Thank you. You have a question for Doto?
Yes, definitely.
All right. Go ahead. Doto. Say hi, yeah, Doto.
Hi. Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, great. Thank you. My wife's birthday is on Monday, so I need some help. I need to know where to take her. No tacos, though. Something a little bit better than tacos.
You know, I think that you should take her to sushi. Japanese buffet.
Oh.
Beer okay. And sushi, man. I think that's going to make her feel good.
Do you
good.
Think she would like sushi?
She likes sushi. Yeah, she likes sushi. That might work out.
All right.
Yeah, or maybe French food.
Or French food?
Yeah.
Is there a restaurant in town that you like that serves French food?
Yeah. Go to Westminster Bolsa. There's a lot of Vietnamese places to offer French food.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. Sounds fantastic.
All right. Good luck. Thanks. Let us know how that goes. Thank you, Ian.
Facebook question for Doto from Robert. He lives in Las Vegas. He's streaming the show this morning, Doe. He wants to know, what is your favorite Subway sandwich?
My favorite Subway sandwich is turkey sandwich. The reason why I like turkey sandwich is because it's lean and it's not too much fat.
Do you get everything on it?
I try to go easy on the mayonnaise.
And go easy on the mayonnaise,
and,
right?
And a lot of vegetables.
Okay.
A lot of tomatoes, onions.
Okay. Do you like hot dogs?
Sometimes. But,
do you put ketchup on a hot dog or no?
Nope. The only thing I put on a ketchup is the bratwurst, German sausage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that was something we talked about.
You don't put ketchup on French fries?
A little bit, Bean.
A little bit. Kevin. I'm Kevin.
Thanks, right. Kevin. Right.
What about eggs?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah. Nope.
Wow, we're learning a lot about Doe today. He's been very open and forthcoming. Let's go to Andrew. He's got a relationship question on line two, please. Andrew checks in from Ontario.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on?
Ask Doto is going on. What's your question?
Well, I met this girl from a dating website, and I like her, but she just wants to take things a little fast, I guess. So, I mean, what do you recommend? What should I do?
Yeah, my recommendation is, can you take things slow and just use your good judgment, because you don't know who you're dating on the website, because there are a lot of good people and bad people, and it's kind of too early to say. Just kind of use your gut feeling.
How many times have you dated?
Well, like I said, we met through the dating website, but we hung out like about three times.
You know what? I think that three times. You know what? In my opinion, I think that three times or four times at least it gives you a pretty good idea of the person.
Uh-huh.
If it was one time, that's a different story. But I think that three times it should be okay.
Andrew, what is it that's happening that's making you feel like she's moving too fast?
Well, she right off the bat. I mean, she wants to meet my family and all that.
Mm.
Wow!
Like, I think that's a little bit too. Too much. I think
moving too fast. Right?
I think that you should just lay low and just continue to date for at least a couple months. So then you can definitely consider that.
It sounds like your instincts are right on, according to Doe, Andrew. Yeah. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Jenny in Irvine, line four, please. She's got another food question for Doe.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, guys.
Hi, you have a question for Doto?
I do. I was wondering if I'm going to Vegas this weekend with my friends.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if Doto could tell me where I could find the best buffet in
Vegas.
Oh,
yeah. The best buffet is the Paris, French food.
That's a different answer than you used to give.
Yeah. And like, because when I go there, I usually like to go to the Paris, because among all the buffets that I go to,
uh-huh.
I think that if you want close European food that's close to European flavors, probably the Paris.
Okay. Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, Paris.
All
yes.
right.
Yes.
That's good
awesome.
Advice. Thank you.
All right, Doe. Hey, Doe, you never met Allie before today. How do you feel you guys are getting along?
Yeah, we're getting along pretty good.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
It's great to meet you.
Thanks.
Were you hoping there'd be a love connection, though, when you knew that you were going to be meeting Allie for the first time?
Bean, you asked funny questions, Bean.
Yeah, Bean. That's
well,
ridiculous.
I'm just saying, look, because you're visiting K-Rock and there's a there's a new, attractive, you know, very funny lady working on the show. I thought maybe you might have had had eyes on her.
We can consider possibly later on, Bean.
Later on, okay.
Don't rush Toto.
Yeah, Bean.
But what? Let me ask you a question based on your what you've said in the past, and that is the 5859 thing, is that a deal breaker?
You know what? At this point, I'm pretty flexible with it, Kevin.
You are okay. Yeah, so it's no longer 5859.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your girlfriend does not have to be Asian anymore. Expanded beyond that.
Not necessarily, Bean.
But you prefer it.
I'm pretty flexible these days. I thought that usually the older you get, the more flexible people tend to be, right, Kevin Bean?
Interesting. So you're actually growing and becoming much more mature. Because for a while, it was just Asian Girl 5859, and that was it.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you a question, Kevin?
Of course,
Kevin?
Sure.
Huck, why is it in some cultures people are not very flexible in doing things? Why is that?
Huh.
I guess it's just you get comfortable with what you know, probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe
you
stick with
it,
set in your ways a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you seem to be like you're going the opposite direction of that. You're going to try new things?
Yeah.
I'm very happy to hear that you've become more open-minded as you've gotten older. I think that's going to make you happier in the long run, Doe.
Thanks, Bean.
All right, do we have time for any more questions?
Okay. Let's take John real quick in La Puente. He's got a great question, and there's only one acceptable answer to this. Let's make sure Doto has it.
Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing? You're absolutely right. There's only one acceptable answer.
All right, what's your question for Doto?
I want to know if you like In-N-Out Burger.
You know, I have In-N-Out Burger twice a week, but that's one of my favorite. The reason why I like the meat is it's very healthy and it's a lot different than McDonald's. So me, the old man, we eat In-N-Out quite often, at least twice a week.
Do you and the old man go drive through In-N-Out?
No, sometimes. Kevin, we eat inside a restaurant.
You eat inside, okay.
Not every day, but we do like In-N-Out.
I don't know a lot of restaurants. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
I definitely speak highly of In-N-Out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. John, thank you for the question.
That's the right answer, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you, John.
Listen, Doe, we're almost out of time. It's been great to see you again.
Thanks, Bean.
You look well. You look healthy. You seem happy. What's the next step for you in your quest to make an in-show business?
I thought that we can do Ask Doto at least a few times a month.
Okay. Now, so you're saying you'd be willing to come back.
I'm willing to be committed, Bean.
I'm Kevin.
Willing to be committed.
Okay. But let me just qualify this because it seems like it's really difficult to track you down and get you to come in. So are you saying you're going to make that easier? You're going to actually dedicate yourself to coming in? Because Dave pulls his hair out sometimes trying to get...
Even a confirmation that you received his message. Not even that you're coming in, just that you'll acknowledge that he contacted you.
It's
tough sometimes.
At that time, I was out of the country, Bean. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm in the...
How much of the year are you out of the country? Seems like a lot.
That was before. Can I tell you what...
That was before.
Yeah.
Before what, now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. All right, you were going to ask, and then we got to go, Doe. Can I tell you what?
Yeah.
No, you said, can I tell you, and then Kevin interrupted you. I want to give you a chance to say what you were going to say.
Okay, Bean, you know, like this Korean girl, so just because she say no, does it mean that she can always change her mind, Bean?
She can change her mind, but I don't think, don't push.
Okay.
I would give her a little space, give her a little breathing room.
I know, just kind of play your cards right?
Correct.
Yes.
If you play your cards right, then things can work out for the positive image, right?
Correct. They can work out for the positive image.
Okay, got it.
Well
Kevin.
Said, Doe. All right, buddy, we love you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Just announced this morning on the program, by the way, K-Rock presents Mumford & Sons at the Troubadour. Another chance for you to win coming up later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
Congratulations, BJ.
BJ Novak?
Nah, Billy Joel.
Ah.
The iconic singer-songwriter is a father once again. His 33-year-old wife, Alexis... gave birth to a daughter yesterday.
And how old is...
He's 66, in case you were wondering. Hmm. In case you're playing at home and you wanted to know what the age difference was between Billy Joel and his wife. That'd be 33 years. That'd be a grown-ass person's distance away from their birthdays.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
He's got a 29-year-old daughter. He's got a 33-year-old wife. Just to give you a little
that's
perspective.
That's got to be even more weird.
That's all you need to know. The little girl's name is Della Rose Joel. And Billy said, I'm going to be able to spend more time with this kid than most people are able to spend with their children because I don't have a regular job. I can be a stay-at-home dad for as long as I can stay alive. That's the down part, really. You may have less time with the kid than some parents. because of the whole death thing right around the corner.
Ralph, I'm sure Billy Joel will have a lot of help, but a 66-year-old just trying to keep up with a baby?
Oh,
can you,
forget
can
it.
You imagine?
Forget it.
It's tough for a young person to do.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter is slowly sucking the life force out of my body. They do nice. That. They do that to you. No, you give it. You give it gladly. You're happy to give it up, but they kill you. The children kill you.
Yeah, she's taking years off the end of your life for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I am. It's like a Star Trek episode. I feel like just there's some energy suck going on. I went through the transporter the wrong way or something, and I just feel everything draining out. I'm just going to become like a puddle of flesh. So all my bones are going to go. Something's going to happen, but I feel it. I feel it's all starting to dissipate. Alice Cooper has a new super group.
That guy. What would you need him for?
No, we love Alice Cooper. Hollywood Vampires is the name of the band. Here's the lineup. Aerosmith's Joe Perry. Guns N' Roses bassist Duff McKagan. Drummer Matt Sorum. Alice Cooper on lead vocals. And Johnny Depp as lead guitarist.
Okay.
That's your lineup for Hollywood Vampires. They're going to take the stage at the Roxy on September the 16th and 17th. Then they'll head to Brazil for the Rock and Rio Festival on the 24th. And their new album, or their only album, will be out on September the 11th. You can pick that up. So,
is this you get the idea it's a permanent thing or just a one-off? Or?
Everyone involved with the band says they may not exclusively stay with this band, but they would like to always come back to it. It'd be a project they all like to work on. So we'll have to wait and see. TV news, The Lion King is spawning a TV series. Disney's putting together a new animated series featuring characters from the film. The Lion Guard, Return of the Roar is the name of the animated series.
Is that a final name?
Yep. It's going to debut on the Disney Channel. The Lion Guard. It's about a bunch of lions who get together to protect the jungle. Including...
what I'm saying, is that a placeholder name?
Simba and Nala, who's all grown up now. Simba's all grown up. He's Rob Lowe will do the voice of Simba.
Okay.
This is Rob Lowe. This is Lion Rob Lowe. It's going to have like a split screen thing. And Gabrielle Union will play his wife Nala. Oh. James Earl Jones will be back as Mufasa.
All right.
Isn't he dead? Spoilers. Isn't he dying in this thing? He'll be like ghost Mufasa, I guess.
Yeah.
Simba, you must go and protect the jungle. Yes. I am your father.
It's not Darth Vader.
Same guy.
Yeah, no. Different characters.
Who's playing the dentist? Does it say?
I'm sorry, what now? What's that?
The dentist.
The dentist. I didn't get it.
There's a story recently about a dentist who went and killed a lion in Africa. I made a lot of...
This is a
headlines.
Cecil the lion?
Just saying dentist, lion, you know, because if...
Wow.
I'll show myself out.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Why?
Okay.
Wow.
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 That happened.
Wow.
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 Does that worry you, Bean?
That's real talk right there, man.
Christina Aguilera made headlines this week when she posted a topless selfie to Instagram. Ooh, she got boobies. What's the world? What is this the world now? This is news.
It is.
We all knew she had boobies. And they're not really, she's not even sure if she's covering them up.
You have to be on Instagram, right?
Does everyone, just, what's it? Where's the dentist? That's all I want to know. Yeah, she's wearing pink underwear and covering her breasts with her arms. So you can't really see anything. It's a non-story, but everyone is just all a Twitter, if you'll pardon the pun, about the fact
that... He said it was Instagram.
About the fact that she's semi-nude in this photograph.
Nice melons.
But hey, speaking of melons, you know Ariel Winter, the little girl from Modern Family?
Sure.
She did the opposite of what a lot of young celebrities are doing. She had breast reduction surgery.
Who authorized that?
I knew Bean would go up on that.
June 4th.
Who allowed that to happen?
This is not acceptable to Bean in any
way. The 17-year-old actress.
She was fine before. She should not be mutilating her body.
She was over-blessed. She was over-endowed. Even if you watch that show, you're like, that poor kid.
Her poor back.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
And she's a little petite thing, so it made her look like a fire plug. It was just too much going on there.
So she's a quitter.
She's not a quitter.
She's a quitter.
I can absolutely understand why she did this.
Huge mistake.
After the reduction, she now has 34 Ds, by the way. After the reduction.
Wow. Well, she's going to settle, I guess.
She believes that women in the television industry are over-sexualized. I wonder why she would get that idea from this conversation.
Huh.
And she got sick of the headlines about her crazy cleavage, as they would call it in the tabloids, so she's happy to be a little less of what she once was.
I love areola.
All right, Kevin. I'm sure they're still there. Doesn't that have to end?
And they're not gone.
Where's the dentist? That's what I would do.
That happened.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Sebastian Stan. He plays Bucky Barnes in the Captain America mythos. The Winter Soldier, 33 years old today. Debbie Mazar, 51 years old. And Danny Bonaducci. He was once an adorable little child actor on the Partridge Family. Now he's all grown up. Hey, talk like this. Listen to me on the radio. It's like some sort of satanic thing. It's not good for anyone. But apparently Seattle likes it.
Sure.
Seattle likes Satan, I've always said. Look who moved there. He's 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. Where's the dentist?
I miss Doto. You guys remember when Doto used to be on the show?
He's the best.
Now we got to wait like 2 more weeks to hang out with the International Man of Mystery. He just makes everybody better. Hey, thanks for tuning in here on a Tuesday morning. Actor Nat Faxon from the TV show Married on FX joins us next hour here on the Kevin Devine Show. Ralph did a story a couple days ago that we just thought was fascinating. A, because it involved potentially bad news for Justin Bieber, and that's always good. But B, because it gets us into the topic of process servers, which I love. Every once in a while, you'll see it on TV, and you go, that's a thing? It's a thing where somebody has to trick you into taking paperwork so that they can prove that you know you've been sued? I mean, I guess it sort of makes sense that you need some sort of proof that somebody's been sued. But isn't it weird the things that people do to try to get those papers to you?
This is strange. They haven't found a better way of doing it, so they literally just fooling people is the way to do it. It's the only way to sort of let them know they've been served papers.
Yeah.
And I guess my only guess is the way this got started had to be people just saying, I never knew I was being sued. The reason I didn't respond to the lawsuit or the reason I didn't show up in court or whatever is because I didn't know. So I think never got it. I think they had to figure out some way to come up with to prove, to have somebody to be able to go into court and say, no, that person did know they were sued because I'm the one who gave them the papers.
Do they have to take a picture as well? Because he could still say that this didn't happen, right? Couldn't he?
I don't know what the rules are,
because before I thought you had to physically touch it.
Right, and then now you don't have to touch it. It just has to be in your presence.
Yeah.
It's really a weird part of the law.
So the Bieber story is that this was according to TMZ. We talked to Harvey about it on Monday. He was hanging out at the beach in Laguna Beach when a guy walked by with a little dog, with a cute, super cute dog. And Justin Bieber did what any human would do, which is to go, oh, my God, what a cute dog. Lean over to pet the dog, and which time the guy dropped the paperwork and said, you've been served. And that's how the lawsuit turns out. Suckered him in with a puppy. Right?
but
why not? I bet people have been suckered in with lots of things, being invited to parties or, you know, bringing attractive, women around or whatever it is. But we thought it might be fun to hear from you on either side of process serving. I don't think we've ever done this phone topic before. If you have been the person who has had to get creative to do process serving, like if that's a job you have or have had, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you've ever been involved with being served or having somebody at your work or somebody around you being served in a creative way, we'd like to hear from you as well. The number is 1-800-520-1067. As always, you can reach us through at Kevin Abean on Twitter or the Kevin Abean Facebook page. You can always text us at 2 K-Rock if you want to as well. Mark Maron had this happen on a recent episode of his Maron show on IFC. Did you see this one, Kevin?
I did not, no.
This was he did an episode that was based around the real-life lawsuit against podcasters. Remember that company in Texas was trying to put podcasters out of business by saying they invented podcasting years ago.
Yep.
And a guy shows up at the door at Mark Maron's house on the show, and Mark looks through the door and thinks it's just a fan at his door.
Oh, it's a fan.
Yeah, sure. Seriously, one of them tweeted my address last week. Hey, man.
Hey, Mark Maron.
Hey, buddy. Look, I appreciate you coming by, but it's a little weird. All right, so I need my personal boundaries, but I'll sign whatever you got there, and I'll do a pic if you want.
You've been served.
What?
Yeah. Such an honor. I mean, I was really psyched to get this assignment.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
Great. Great having fans like you.
I wonder how you get a gig like that serving papers. It's like you just get paid to be a dick.
You just get paid to be a dick. So 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Steve in Newbury Park. He's on line one. He did get paid to be a dick and to do a job like that. Steve, do I have this right? You worked as a server?
Yeah, that's right. I'm an absolute dick.
That's fantastic. So tell us about your job.
It's, you know, it's easier than you think it is. It's people either run away from you or accept them. If they run away or don't open the door, you just throw it at them. Your job's done.
Okay, wait. Hold right there. So if the person turns and runs from you, you throw it at them and that's fine with the law? Like that means they've been served?
You're served at that point.
Now, do most of the people that you pursue, are they aware that you're looking for them? They know they're being sued and that's why they're being so evasive?
To be quite honest, I wish I would get those all the time because those are the ones you make the most money on. So if somebody has already been tried to – if someone's been served or someone's trying to get someone served and, you know, the law firm just can't seem to get the job done.
Then they bring in Steve. He's the hard hitter.
Well, you know, they'll bring in somebody on an hourly or a PI and they'll pay in upwards of maybe $120 an hour in rare cases for a surveillance. And,
wow.
You know, those are the great ones. And you go to the door dressed as a pizza guy and they open the door. Hey, you're served. Have a pizza. Good day.
That's awesome. So
do they get to keep the pizza, though?
Maybe you eat half of it while you're sitting on surveillance, though. Wow.
So what was the one, Steve, if one comes to mind that you were the most pleased with yourself for, with how creative you were to get to that person?
Oh, man. There's one that sticks out in mind. This rich lady in Westlake. She never came to the door. Her dad was a judge, believe it or not. And
did you throw the papers at the door?
Well, I stopped on the corner of Westlake Boulevard at a red light, and when it was raining, I had it in a Ziploc bag. I got out of the car and put it on her windshield and said, have a great day, lady.
Now, are you required to say you've been served? Do you have to say anything to them, or just giving the paperwork is enough?
Just giving them the paperwork, but I always figure there should be a little dance that goes with it just to show them, like, hey, ha-ha in your face.
Like a kickball change, something like that.
Look, Kevin and I were talking about this earlier today, Steve. If I were a process server, every single time I delivered the paperwork, I would do this.
Because today, you suckers got served.
Sir, 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 sir.
And then I would have a dance crew that would travel with me. That would put on a little show.
Oh, awesome.
be the greatest day of that person's life.
All right, Steve.
You are awesome, sir. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you listening. All right, let's flip the script a little bit and go to Shane, Ontario, line 3. He is the one who got served. Let's find out what that was like on his end.
Hey, Shane.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You got served papers?
Yes, I did. I was at home, and I knew that they were trying to serve me because it was, like, an issue with work. And so I was, like, avoiding it. Well, I play in a band, and I was, like, having, like, a local show. After the show, someone comes up to me, and they're like, hey, are you Shane? And I was like, yeah. And then they're like, you've been served. And I got served paperwork.
Oh, at a gig.
And you thought it was a fan or something.
Yeah, here I am. Because it's a local band. We're not famous at all, you know. But somebody recognized me. I was like, ooh, let me sign something. Like getting all pumped. But
sign this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, Shane. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Bobby Encino, line 4, please. Now we're getting creative with the process serving. Hey, Bobby, welcome to the show.
Hey, my brother-in-law was living in my guest house, and his sister left me, and we were getting a divorce, but he would not move out. Oh. So I had to evict him, and I couldn't serve him. He was like a ghost, and he worked at night. I never saw that guy.
He was a ghost.
So my aunt passed away, and I talked to a guy in my office. I say, hey, my aunt passed away. He's going to be at the funeral. That's the only time I can see him. So I had to walk up in front of everybody in front of the funeral and serve him his papers. And
what?
It was a big dispute in the family, how horrible I was, but I had to do it at the funeral.
How about, I mean, look, I understand if that's the only time you can get them, but I bet it did rub some of the family members the wrong way that you were bringing that business into that day.
Oh, my God. Well, his wife left, my wife left me, but I couldn't get rid of the brother-in-law.
Wow.
It was horrible.
That's awful.
I mean, look, you did what you had to do. Did you do the You Got Served dance, though?
Yeah, at the funeral, yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, Bobby, thanks for the call, sir. Oh, we got some great calls here, you guys. Please hang on. We're going to get right back to you. 1-800-520-106, and we want your You Got Served questions next on K-Rock. I love these calls so much. We're talking about process serving on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't think we've ever taken calls on this topic before, but we're doing it today at 1-800-520-1067. You can always text us, of course, number 2, K-Rock, 2, K-R-O-Q. Where do you want to start, Kevin? So many good ones here. So many creative people.
Let's start with the celebrity one on line 1. Let's go to Cal in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hello. Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, Cal. Thanks for holding on. Thanks for calling. So you served someone in sort of a public way. How?
Well, we got a judgment to enforce against Tyga. Mm-hmm. And he was pretty evasive. His family was telling me that he had sold and moved from Calabasas. Turns out that wasn't true. So I had been running after him for a few months. And
how did you finally find him?
Well, our collectors at Continental Commercial Group, they contacted me telling me that Chris Brown had tweeted that he was going to be at Tyga's premiere, his shoe premiere at Chic Shoes. So they called me. They had just obtained the paperwork from the courts, and they called me and asked me if I'd go down there and take care of that.
Now, I would imagine with a celebrity, somebody like Tyga is going to have security around him. Doesn't that make it even tougher for you to get paperwork in his hand?
Oh, man. They had some big brothers in there, too.
Yeah.
There was a lot of security. When I first walked in, before it all went down, they had approached me and asked me if there was something I could do for them. I said, no, I'm just looking around. Then I stood in line, and I was there for a couple hours. No one questioned me.
Guys, I feel like at this time we need to either decide to finish talking to Cal and not talk to anyone else, or say thanks for calling and move on.
We appreciate the call, Cal. You served Tyga. Well done. And did it in front of the TMZ cameras as well, by the way. Maybe he didn't bring that to life as much as he could have, but it's still an interesting story. All right, let's go to Mariah. She's on line 3. We haven't heard much from the ladies on this topic, but she's checking in from Marina Valley.
Hey, Mariah.
Hi, good morning.
Is this your gig? You do it for a living?
I don't anymore, but I used to do it a few years ago.
Okay.
All right, tell us about it.
It was pretty interesting. Well, for me, it didn't happen very often, but I didn't really have to get too creative. They weren't expecting a girl to show up at their door or at their workplace, so they're not going to start running when a girl's walking in with papers in their hand.
Isn't that interesting?
What?
So their sexism worked in your favor?
A little bit. There was one where I had to serve a guy at his house, and he says, okay, well, let me grab a pen. Come on in. I'm like, no thanks. I'm going to stand outside.
Yeah, no kidding. And then what happened if he didn't come back? Do you have to go back again?
Yeah, we do. He did. He signed for it and everything, but, you know, he kept inviting me in the house, and I just kept saying no.
That's probably the right move.
Thanks for the call, Mariah. I appreciate that. Listen to this one from Ramon, Kevin and Bean Facebook page. When I was in college, I worked as a process server. One day, one of the people that was on the list was my college professor. So I went to his class, took my exam, and then afterwards, I served him papers from his ex-wife. Surprisingly, he was okay with it and didn't fail me. Can you imagine you walk up to your professor at the end of the class and say, oh, I got some paperwork for you? All right, let's try David, Laguna Hills, line 6. David, you're up next on the Kevin and Bean Show talking process serving. What's your story?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I was trying to serve my ex-wife divorce papers, and she was so sneaky. She wouldn't accept anything that I would give her. So the only way that I could disguise the papers is I put them in my daughter's. You know when you elementary school students, they get their photos taken, and they get that big packet of photos?
Right.
I took the photos out of the packet and put the papers in the packet.
Oh, so she thought she was opening the envelope to see pictures of the kids, and she got the papers.
The best part is my daughter actually handed mommy the papers.
Oh,
I don't know if that's the best part.
When you're married to Satan.
Okay.
Wow.
He's married to Satan.
Okay. Thanks for the call, David. Appreciate that. Let's go to Joel Torrance, line 8. He's got another family situation that led to serving.
Hey, Joel.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Very, very similar to the last guy's call. A friend of mine had a deadbeat dad, was only around when he wanted to be around, and the mom was trying to serve him papers. So the daughter reached out to him and said, I have my father-daughter dance. I'd love for you to be there. It's going to be my last one, formal attire. So the father shows up, all tucked out and ready to go to a dance. We open the door, and the daughter serves him the papers right there.
Dude.
The daughter did it.
Dude. Why is this not a new Ryan Seacrest reality show, by the way?
Or the Knock Knock Live, You've Been Served.
That would be awesome. All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike in West Covina, line 4. Find out about the type of thing you might have to make up to get somebody served. Hey, Mike, welcome.
Thank you. So I had to serve this guy some divorce paperwork, right? And those are always never fun, I should say.
Right.
So he was pretty much being evasive, and so we had to kind of catch up to him, and I had to end up going to his work. And so I caught him while he was working in, walking into his work, and I was like, hey, dude, I think somebody just hit your car. And he goes, are you kidding me? And I was like, no, like, you have that blue Honda, right? He's like, yeah. So we're walking out, and I'm kind of going with him, kind of being like, you know, the Good Samaritan. And, you know, I'm like, you're Jesse, right? And he goes, yeah, how'd you know? And I'm like, oh, I have your divorce papers. You've been served.
Boom!
Like, oh, man. You know, and he went through, like, all the phases of emotion. I mean, he went through super pissed, like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. How could you do this to me? Like, as if I knew him, kind of thing. You know what I mean? And then after that, he was like, are you the one that's sleeping with my wife? Blah, blah, blah. And so he kind of started going off of me.
Wait, were you the one that was sleeping with his wife?
No.
All right.
Not in this instance.
Not in this instance.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But exactly. At some point, he was relieved that his car hadn't been hit, right? I mean, at least he realized you just made that up, at least.
I think that was the least of his concern at that point.
Yeah. All right.
He was just not happy.
Final question for you. At that point, once you got the paperwork in his hands, did you turn to him and say,
serve, 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 serve. Sir!
Actor Nat Faxon from the TV show Married on FX joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget, keep on listening for your chance to win tickets to see Mumford and Sons. Yeah, they're playing the Forum for two shows this week, but we just announced this morning they're also playing the Troubadour. So Mumford at the Troub, your ticket's coming up on K-Rock. So the Netherlands is in the news. Kevin, you've been in the Netherlands, right?
Yes.
Where Amsterdam is.
You're right.
Yes. I was scanning through any... You know,
Amsterdam, yes. Yeah, Netherlands is in the news.
Yeah.
I don't. I got to be honest, I don't think about the Netherlands a lot, and I don't think about them going to war much, but they're right there in Europe, and they go places and shoot people, or at least they try to when they have ammunition. They are in the news right now because they're out of ammo. Now, how do you run an army if you got no bullets?
I don't understand this at all.
Yeah, brush up on your insults? What do you do?
I guess what you have to do. According to this report, the Dutch army is running low on ammunition. With a number of compulsory shooting drills canceled due to lack of bullets, soldiers have allegedly been forced to imitate the sound of the crack of a rifle when pulling the trigger.
So I could have been in the Dutch army when I was 4?
Right.
Apparently so, yes. Even if you have no bullets, you have to train with your weapons, says Jean Deby, chairman of the military union. That means as a soldier, you say, bang, bang. This is obviously disastrous for the morale of the military. You want to do this like you don't want to do this to a professional. Imagine you're running around. I mean, that's part of the reason why you train is practice, right? Imagine you're running around and you just are pretending to shoot at targets and you're saying bang, bang as you fire your weapon.
Well, I think the point of these rehearsals and stuff is so that you could be accurate with your shooting, which
yes.
You have no idea about if you're just saying the word bang.
Yes, you're supposed to be combat ready. So we wanted to find out more about this situation and how it is likely to be resolved. So we have Mr. Jean Deby on the phone with us right now. He is the chairman.
Bang, bang, bang. Bang, yes.
He's the chairman of the Dutch military
I got you. Bang,
union.
Bang, bang. Oh, yes, I've shot you now. Yes. Hello?
Hi.
Mr. Deby, Kevin and Bean, a radio show from Los Angeles, California, sir. How are you?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Thank you for the time. It sounds like bad times for the Army over there.
No, it's not bad times.
Oh, well, we were led to believe you have no bullets.
Well, yes, there's that.
Well, that seems bad times for a military.
Well, you have to make do with what you have, you know.
Right.
And so uh-huh. we do our maneuvers in other ways.
Okay.
Well, how do you know if you've actually hit something?
Bang, bang, bang. I shot you.
No, you didn't.
I got you.
No, I got you.
Lie down and die. I got you.
No.
That is a problem.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like it.
The fellas say, no, you didn't get me, and they keep running.
That's a bit of an issue.
It is an issue, and it's something I'm working on. Hand grenade! Boom! Hand grenade on you.
I dodged it.
You did not dodge it. You can't dodge a hand grenade. It blows you up.
Bang, bang, bang.
No.
Bazooka.
Ow, hole, bleeding, hole. Hello?
You okay? Sounds like you got hit there, sir.
Yeah, it's just a flesh wound, though.
Okay.
With a bazooka, though. Maybe it's a pretty bad flesh wound.
Are you in the Army?
Am I in the Army? No.
Then you don't know about
okay.
this. You don't know about these things.
Okay.
Okay.
So what's the plan going forward? I mean, you've had an ammo shortage for some time. Are you petitioning the government for more money to buy more bullets, or
yes,
what are you going
to
do?
We have asked the government to give us more bullets and more money for ammunition.
Uh-huh.
And we are still waiting to see what the response is. But in the meantime, we have to stay, battle ready at all times with the army.
But you're not battle ready by...
Yes, we are. Bang! Machine gun. Bad machine gun for you. You need to get that machine gun. Oh, I hate the army.
The defense ministry has acknowledged the problem, as you know, saying that it has over 400 types of ammunition. Therefore, sometimes there are very tight inventories for specific bullets that are needed for your rounds.
Yes, maybe we should simplify it and just go to one bullet.
Maybe so.
Instead of 400 different kinds of bullets.
Yeah.
Maybe, because we know one thing we have is lots of invisible bullets.
Right.
But maybe just one bullet. We can spend all our money just getting one bullet, and we can have those for practice.
How long has this been a problem?
Oh, past, I say 100 years or
what?
So.
There's not a lot.
You don't hear a lot about a lot of Dutch wars.
Well, it's true.
Yes. We mostly just smoke pot.
Yeah, you're not noticed a huge military power, I guess, come to think of
that's
it.
That's right. Ow! Invisible, a knife stabbed me.
An invisible knife?
Yes. We don't have any knives either.
Oh, that's just sad.
Yeah. And you know what? No helmets either. That's the hard part. Just we're running around naked here, saying bang bang to each other, which is kind of fun, actually.
It does sound like
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
We're going to talk sports with Dan O'Toole from Fox Sports Live coming up just after the top of the hour. He's filling in for Jim Rome, of course, who's on vacation. He'll be back with us next week.
Yeah,
by the way,
guys are legends.
Listen to this, by the way. Looking ahead, Ice Cube on the program tomorrow.
Ding, 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 ding.
That's Vanilla Ice. Mike Sexton and Vince Van Patten from the World Poker Tour are going to be on the program tomorrow. Rob Corddry next week. Patrick Stewart in city with us on Monday.
Make it show, number one.
Kathy Griffin next week. Tony Hale from Veep is going to be with us.
He's so good.
He's so good. Felicia Day, who we love so much, is going to be with us next week as well. A lot of good stuff in the days to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for listening. Rob is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning.
66-year-old Billy Joel is a father again. His 33-year-old wife, Alexis, gave birth to a daughter yesterday.
Asshole.
What?
Della Rose Joel, 66 years old. He's shameless.
Okay.
Here we go.
Come on, let's not start.
So
with
it
begins. But I thought that only the good die young.
God damn you, Bean and Ralph.
Let's not do this.
Let's
Come
not.
On.
I think that's
nobody
good.
Wants this.
It's a good
Ralph.
Choice.
Wow.
I like it.
Thank you, Allie. Uh-huh. Guess nobody here wants to have fun. Fine. Okay. Let me just give you
so
some boring
goes,
news. Here you go. Just straight news with nothing else. Here you go. Here it is. You ready? Bill Cosby was accused of sexual assault against three additional
women. I don't know that you have to
women.
Read it like
no,
that.
No, that's how you're getting it. You want to suck all the fun out of it? That's what you get.
I know it's been the longest time since we did one of those kinds of song things, but I feel like today's not the day for it. That's all I'm saying.
No, you can't have it both ways, man. You can't shut me down and then you go off on a tangent.
Just try to give you some honesty.
Gloria Allred introduced three additional women accusing Bill Cosby of sexual assault. Colleen Hughes, Linda Ridgway, White Deer, and Eden Tyrrell. Two of them are actresses who worked with Cosby. One, a stewardess on a flight heading to Los Angeles in the 70s when Cosby gave her a glass of champagne. And then several hours later, she woke up confused and realized she had been sexually assaulted, according to Colleen Hughes. All of these testimonies will be factored in when Cosby faces the civil lawsuit filed by Judith Hill, also being brought by Gloria Allred. And Cosby now has to give a sworn deposition on October the 9th over this lawsuit. So,
he will
have to face the music regarding these women's accusations,
I'm
at least
so
in
happy.
Deposition.
Yeah.
That's good news.
You like girls? We like girls?
I guess that's one defense. You all like girls. When asked, Cosby said, I'm Jersey! Praise her! We still have that down in the lab. We're trying to figure out. Exactly
does it clear it up for me, on. I'll tell you that.
No, exactly. Kevin, you missed it. You were out yesterday. But we talked about Ryan Seacrest has been tapped by NBC to host the late-night coverage of the Olympic Games in Rio in 2016.
Okay.
Makes a perfect sense, right? He's a perfect choice.
Yeah.
Remember? Who knows more about sports than him?
Right? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Being a former Olympic athlete himself.
He was a pole vaulter, I think. He used to grab the pole. Remember?
He used to grab those poles.
Yes. Yeah. He would grab any pole you put in his hands.
Right.
And he would vault on it. Just would vault the crap out of those poles.
No! That's it!
Often landed on them, I understand.
Really?
Properly. Oh. Mm. Yes. Ryan served as a correspondent to the 2012 London Games and co-hosted the closing ceremony, but now he's being bumped up to full-time late-night coverage of the Rio Games in 2016.
Look, he's an okay host of things that he doesn't have to know anything about.
If he can just read a cue card, he's
right.
fine.
Right.
Yeah. But he's going to have to come up with things.
Yeah, I don't think that's good.
I was suggesting yesterday maybe he'd just knock on athletes' doors. Give them gifts. Maybe that's his plan. But speaking of bad television, Boom is on Fox tonight. You guys watching Boom?
What's Boom?
Are you watching Boom?
I don't know what Boom is.
Oh, come on, guys.
Tell me about Boom.
How are you not watching Boom?
It sounds like the kind of show I would like.
Actually, I think it is. I've only seen one episode. I said to myself, I think Kevin would like this.
Boom.
Because it's dumb and there's explosions.
That's what I need.
This is the thing I talked about before. It's a game show where you have to... you have to disarm a bomb.
Okay.
While you're answering questions.
Wait, what?
And they're real bombs, right?
Well, they're real bombs, but they, like...
Because I would watch if they were real bombs.
They explode, like, mustard on you and stuff.
Yeah.
There's, like, wires leading to the bomb, and you have to... They're all color-coded, and you have to pick the right color to correspond with the answer to your question, and then you snip that wire... And if you snip it correctly and you defuse the bomb, then you win the money. But if you snip the wrong wire, you get a big blob in your face.
This doesn't sound at all good to me.
Boom!
That doesn't sound like it should be on local TV.
When is it on?
It's on tonight, 8 o'clock on Fox.
That's not possible.
How many times is this aired? Is this brand new?
No, it's been on for weeks.
That's not possible.
Why have I never even heard of it?
How are you not watching Boom?
That's all I care about now.
One bomb's like a mustard bomb, and they have like a paint bomb, and they have like a mayonnaise bomb, and they have a
But it's also, bomb. It's also a game show where you have to
God
answer questions.
God damn it, Kevin. I told you it was a game show at the beginning.
See, this is why we're not watching TV. People get obsessed.
What are the questions about?
Oh, Allie. It's not, there's no theme to the questions. It's pop culture.
It's just trivia? Just regular?
Sorry.
And Ryan Seacrest is the host?
He's not the host.
All right, here you go. Keep it up. The host is named Tom Papa. He's
right, Tom
Papa.
Oh,
he's great. He's a comic.
He calls it the most intense game show ever invented.
Right.
Wow.
Boom.
The most intense.
They say, okay, pick out the one product not made by Spanx. And like they give you a list of names, and you out of those names, you have to pick, I don't think they have one called a crotch grabber. So you you clip the crotch grabber wire, and if you're wrong, boom, mayonnaise in your face. If you're right, though, you go on and win
That's
the money.
That's not a thing, Ralph.
They have a maple syrup bomb,
right?
Guys.
This is what I'm talking about. Different kinds of stuff in the bomb.
That is not, this is not a show.
Participants wear goggles, and the audience is draped in rain ponchos.
Yes, you have to protect the audience, and Tom Papa runs away when you answer a question because he's afraid to get maple syrup in his face. And who isn't? Boom. Fox's Boom.
This is not
Please
a thing.
Please enjoy Fox's Boom.
All right, so the game is now we have to decide how good an actor is Ralph. Did he just convince us that there's an actual show on TV named Boom? Did he make it up, or is it real?
I think he's a good enough actor to sell something to us.
Yeah. I know where I'm going to be at 8 o'clock tonight, though.
You're watching Boom. That's what I'm telling you. Yeah.
Is it real?
It's a real thing.
That's
you got to watch
awesome.
It once. You got to watch it once.
Why is Seacrest not hosting it?
This is the end times. This show wouldn't have made it on the air in the 70s, and they put everything on the air in the 70s.
And it's on an obscure cable channel, right?
Nope. Fox Television Network.
One of the networks.
I watched it mouth agape when I saw it. I was like, this is it? Is everything to this? It's just...
You came across it as a surprise, or you read about it?
No, I came across it.
That's a surprise.
I was just flipping around.
Wow.
I was like, what is this? Is this Mexican television? No, this is American television?
If it was Mexican, they would have super hot chicks on it.
Right, and then a guy would be dressed as a bumblebee. The host would be a bumblebee, and then honey would come out of the bomb. And, like, live bees would come out of the bomb. It would be interesting. It would be more entertaining than Tom Papa in a suit saying, okay, clip your wire.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is sad now. It's just sad.
It is just sad. Boom. Tonight on Fox. Boom.
Did you?
I'm being set up, aren't I?
Did you apply for that hosting job, Ralph?
I did not.
Did you try to get in on Boom?
I purely appreciate Boom as a viewer.
Okay.
I have no vested interest in Boom whatsoever. But it just brought me to mind. Like, Fox is really in a role now with their Knock Knock Live and their Boom.
Right.
They are capturing the market in reality
in
shows
what? In
nobody
what?
Wants to watch.
What's the category? Shows people won't watch?
In horrible reality / game shows.
The golden age of television, like we keep saying.
What do you think they turned down so that they could put Boom there?
Sorry, we'd like to put your new series in, Mr. Botchko, but I'm sorry, we're all boomed up right now in that time slot. We have no room for your show.
That's crazy.
We got Tom Papa diffusing mustard bombs on Boom. So we got no room for you, David Shore, whatever your idea is. Today's celebrity birthday is Danny Bonaducci's 56 years old today. Debbie Mazar celebrates her 51st birthday. And Sebastian Stan, you know him as Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier in the Captain America movies. He is 33 years old. He's dreamy, too. That's Sebastian Stan. Woof. Woof, right? Who's with me?
Sure.
Fellas, huh? Where's the dentist?
Where's the dentist?
I walk the showbiz beat.
So you're telling me our long national nightmare is almost over, the return of the NFL tonight. That's what you're telling me.
That's such good news.
Saints-Ravens playing preseason game one tonight. Jets-Lions, Redskins-Browns. A lot of games tonight. Patriots are playing the Packers, Allie.
Yeah.
We know Tom Brady won't be out there because I saw how sick he looked in court yesterday. There's no way he's going to recover
from whatever.
I mean, seriously, it looked like he was on the freaking Walking Dead when I saw him in court yesterday.
Was that real? That was an actual artist rendering?
Yeah.
Artist in quotes, of course, because...
Well.
The court reporter drew a non-flattering... it's hard to... Look, say what you will about the cheating cheaters who cheat. It's hard to argue that Tom Brady is a beautiful man. Not so much on the courtroom drawing yesterday.
Well, it looks like his grandpa.
Yeah, yeah. We finally got to see how ugly he is on the inside. We just saw it on the outside for a change. That's all. How about our friend Dan O'Toole, who's on the line? Of course, he, along with his friend Jay Onwright, work on Fox Sports Live nightly at 8 o'clock. Hey, Dan, how are you, buddy?
Good. That's that courtroom sketch artist. It looked like someone deflated Tom Brady's head.
All right, hang up on Dan.
Oh!
We're done. Like. We're done, Dan.
Oh, we're not done. We're just beginning.
All right.
It was a phenomenal photo, and you probably followed this a little more closely than I did, Dan. What was your takeaway on what happened in court yesterday? It sounds like they didn't get anything resolved so much. They pretty much just said, you guys go play nice, and we'll see you in a month, right?
The judge did kind of attack the NFL, and that's the kind of the part I like. Yeah, I don't know if he's a Tom Brady fan or not, but he essentially said to the NFL, what, that's all you got? Come on.
I think he's a fan of the truth, which the truth is there is no evidence that Brady tampered with those footballs. Period. End of discussion. Case closed. Move on. Game one. Go.
That's right. And at some point, Tom Brady just needs to stand up in the courtroom and say, hey, I'm Tom freaking Brady. Is this still happening? Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, I believe is probably waking up every morning and saying to himself, are we still doing, what have I done? It's like a father that holds to a punishment for his kid, and then you're a month in, and you're like, Dad, really? We're still doing this?
Yeah.
Come on.
Like I'm being punished more than you are because you're at home all the time or whatever, if you're granted.
I was super annoyed by this story for a long time, but now the fact that it's been this tiny of a story has been going on for so long, I'm starting to love.
And we like to take a look at different things on Fox Sports Live every single night. The one thing we focused on last night, we played a game was, who didn't watch their step heading into the Deflategate proceedings? And there was a gentleman who got out of the SUV just before Roger Goodell, and he tripped on the curb.
I love it.
that's what it's come to.
I love it.
We're analyzing B-roll footage.
I love that. Now, let me ask you this. I know this isn't evidence, to Allie's point. This wouldn't hold up in court. But isn't it unlikely that someone on the Patriots staff would screw around with the footballs without Tom Brady's knowledge? Like, why would you ever do that? Do something that your quarterback doesn't know about to the footballs?
Maybe they think it's helping. Maybe they're saying to themselves, this is going to help my team win when no one else knows. But I don't think you take air out of a football without your quarterback knowing. I don't think there's any chance that happens. And I bet you 20 years down the road, when the truth does come out, and Tom Brady will say, every quarterback does it. Uh-huh. Every quarterback adjusts the footballs at the last minute.
Right. So my question to you is, why didn't he and why doesn't he just say, we all do it, we try to stay within the rules, it didn't on that particular time, so we apologize, and just move the F on?
That's the thing that kind of happened in court, the courtroom yesterday, was because Tom Brady, his team said, now, okay, this didn't happen, but let's just say it did. And Tom Brady was involved. I'm not saying he was, but let's just say he did have a hand in this. So they aren't saying it, but they are kind of saying it, that Tom Brady did know, but they're saying also, try and prove it.
Right. Well, then
that's the big thing. There is no hard evidence.
There's no hard evidence, and Berman, the judge, put a smackdown on the NFL and basically was like, you guys can't prove this. Do you really want it to go further?
And here's the other thing. Why do we have murder trials televised? Yeah, we have to rely on sketch artists for this.
I agree. I'd watch this.
Yeah, this should be on TV. Absolutely.
Am I the only one that's kind of looking at this saying, are there cameras in there?
Yeah. We just want Tom Brady on our TV. That's all. Dan O'Toole on the line from Fox Sports Live here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Jim Rome will be back with his regular time and date next week. Let me ask you this about football. More details are coming out about the fight. There were witnesses, apparently, between Geno Smith and I.K. Enampali in the locker room for the Jets. Ali pointed out yesterday how curious it was that the coach did not stick up for his quarterback. The fact that he said takes two to tango means that maybe there's a lot more going on in that locker room than we know about. I know you guys have talked about this, Dan. What are your thoughts? What's your read on this one day in?
My biggest read is, if you owe I.K. Enampali money,
yeah,
you think you're paying that money up quick now?
Yeah, yeah. You pay. That's your biggest takeaway from that story?
$600. This is over.
Yeah.
Right.
There has to be more to it than that. You don't punch someone in the jaw and break their jaw over $600. And yes, it takes two to tango. And also, Geno Smith, guys, we aren't talking about Tom Brady here.
Exactly.
We're talking about one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, that doesn't have a lot of respect regardless. I mean, showing up late for practices, I was in a movie, I didn't understand the time change. That it shows a lack of leadership, a lack of respect. No one's punching Aaron Rodgers in the face. No one's punching Tom Brady in the face, no matter how much money they're owed, period.
When about 50% of your passes go to the other team,
yeah,
I think everyone in that locker room wants to punch you in the
Maybe
face.
That's why they punched him in the face.
Ah, there you go. Maybe I.K. Enampali was doing what every Jets fan would like to do if they had the opportunity, which is just to cold cock the quarterback. I like it. What did you
and
think?
And then his former coach picks him up in Buffalo.
That's my next question. What did you think about Rex Ryan picking him up? I mean, were you surprised?
Rex Ryan, has anyone ever created this much buzz about the Buffalo Bills in the last 15 years?
Yeah,
it's true.
That's what he's done.
So this is just publicity.
He of course, says, okay, because of that, I'm doing it because he's a good football player, which he might know more behind it because he did have this guy last year. He was the coach of the Jets. Mm-hmm. But still, it's a big middle finger to everyone else saying, yeah, I'm building a bully, which he said at the start of the year, and he's essentially doing that in Buffalo.
Right. He might want to look into getting a quarterback out there in Buffalo. That might be his first move, but I still respect him for the troll.
It is amazing, Dan, as it just shows you how popular the NFL is, you know, the season's been over for months now. We've had no football. Yet I feel like there's been something going on every single week that has kept the NFL front and center. I mean, it's crazy how big it is and how starved we are for anything having to do with this sport.
It is a juggernaut. It's a well-controlled machine, although this one, two situations got out of the hands. One got out of the hands of Roger Goodell. The other one got out of the hands of the Jets. But we can all agree that we do have a new star. And that courtroom sketch artist, I believe, will be getting a lot of wedding invites, a lot of portraits of new happily married couples.
He does good work.
That look like they're melting.
I love it. All right. Before we let you go, what's on the program with you and Jay tonight? Anything special?
I guess we'll show highlights. We'll show those red-hot Toronto Blue Jays. Hey, everyone's talking about the Jays, right?
The Blue Jays. You're absolutely right. They're the hottest team in baseball right now.
Yeah, I know. They're amazing. They're in first place this late in the season for the first time since 1993. Guys, I would like to have you know that in 93, the Blue Jays won the World Series, and I went to that World Series parade. I was supposed to go to high school that day. I had the parents, Chrysler New Yorker, and I said to my buddies, how many times
can we go to a World Series parade? We aren't going to school, so I was there.
You did the right thing.
Thank you very much. So, kids, don't stay in school.
That's right.
That's the advice, the takeaway from today's Kevin Beach Show. Dan O'Toole, Fox Sports Live. We love you, man. Thanks for coming on.
I love you guys more.
I have to give Nat Faxon a lot of credit. He, of course, one of the co-stars of Married on FX Thursday nights at 10:30. I thought once he won his Academy Award, he would stop coming into the Kevin and Bean Show. But like clockwork, man, every year he stops by for his visit. And he is here right now on K-Rock.
Right. Once a year.
That's about right. Once a year is about all you need from Kevin and Bean, right?
Yeah. That's about, probably about all you can handle of me as well.
I think it works out. I think our relationship's in a good place now.
It is. I wish I had this relationship with more people, actually.
So how have you been, sir? What's going on? What have you been up to?
I've been very well, thank you. We just finished our second season of Married.
Finished shooting it.
Okay. Yep, it's airing now. And so it's been good. I've had a little time off. Went back east to Boston.
Oh, there it is. Wow. Are you from
Kevin threatened to turn their mics off for bringing up Boston, and he did it.
I said whoever talks about Boston gets their mics cut.
I know. Well, I had to endure a lot of the, you know, Tom Brady bashing from you guys while I was in the waiting room.
As you should have.
It's all true. Horrible, right?
It is horrible.
He's a horrible man. You're right.
How dare
listen,
you?
Speaking of Boston, I saw something. What, did you just cut my mic off?
Yep.
I saw. Are you involved? Is there some
reflex?
Is there some campaign, Nat, to get you to Fenway? Is that what's happening now?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, I went on the Rich Eisen show with my co-star Judy Greer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, you know, he boasted that he can make a lot of things happen. Mm. And one of the things he said, I got somebody to throw out the first pitch. He was a big Seattle fan, and I got him to throw out the first pitch. And so I said, well, then make it happen at Fenway for me, Rich. And he was like, I can do that, and I will promise to do that. So
wow.
I'm waiting on the delivery.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And if Rich fails, I will bash him physically and mentally.
Now, tell me in your mind how you envision that going, because you were a little kid probably growing up as a Red Sox fan and you pictured at some point, maybe for many points in your life, pitching for that team.
Yes.
Like you, the eyes of the world being on you, standing on the mound at Fenway Park and winning Game 7 of the World Series.
That's true.
When you walk out there as a, you know, 40-year-old man and hope to get the ball to the plate – Is it going to live up to your dreams, do you think? Are you going to make it come alive for you?
Yeah, I'm going to milk every second out of that thing. I'm going to wear a full outfit. I'm going to wear a, you know.
They're called uniforms now.
Oh, is that what they are? Okay, got it. Okay, got it.
You going to shake your head no to the catcher a bunch just to stretch it on?
I am. I'm going to do a huge leg kick and then probably throw it like 4 miles wide.
You
out of
should
the plate.
Turn and throw it to first base. That's what you should do.
Has anybody ever done that? Done a pickoff attempt?
Pickoff a runner? That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
I don't think so.
Guys, let's do that.
That's a great idea.
Will you guys come and be a part of that?
Is it in Boston?
I will.
Yes.
No. Yeah, Allie will. Kevin, any advice for Nat as he prepares to throw out a first pitch?
Bean says that because I've thrown out a first pitch twice.
Really?
For the Dodgers.
Both times in the dirt.
Wow.
Second time fell on my face.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
And I didn't picture, like, I didn't lay awake before going, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to fall on my face. I thought it was going to be good like you do right now.
Right.
And then it didn't go so
Yeah. Well. I got some advice. Judy actually gave me a lot of advice.
Has she done it?
She has done it. She did it for the Dodgers this season.
Okay.
And
awesome.
She tried to get me to do it with her and said, you know, this would be a good thing for married.
First pitch. First pitch.
Oh, being the first pitch. And, I just got that, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. It's early still. Yeah. I said, no, I didn't want to do it because I didn't want to ruin my chances of doing it at Fenway Park.
Oh,
I felt
right.
like
so
I would.
If you did it at Dodger Stadium, you're afraid they would go, no, that guy did it at Dodger
Stadium. Yes. Really? I was also fearful that I would have to wear like a, you know, a Eric Gagne jersey or like
good
a
pull.
Yeah.
Really?
Good pull. I don't know why he's the first guy I thought of.
Not sure.
He played for the Dodgers 17 years ago.
I think that was smart.
So I was like, I don't want to go out there and be like, go Dodgers, when I'm not like a huge Dodger fan. You know?
You did the
so
right thing.
I didn't want to spoil my, you know, fandom. But she did say that she practiced and like threw like 60 pitches a day for like a week or
something.
Yeah,
oh, my God. I practiced. It doesn't help.
No?
No.
She said you got to throw high, like throw up because you're higher on the mound. So she said you got to throw up towards like basically the hat of the catcher.
Here's hat.
Well, he's not wearing his mask. He's not.
Here's my advice to you: is just throw it high, no matter what. Because if it sails, you're like, wow, that guy's got it. Like he's too strong.
Yeah,
he needs to bring him. When you in the dirt short, it's a little embarrassing.
I saw Paul Pierce, and I felt terrible for the guy.
That was embarrassing.
That's tough.
Yeah,
I think it's a lot further than you expect it to be, especially if you don't play baseball. You walk out there, and it's a really long way.
Yeah, I got to give Judy 60 credit.
Feet, 60.6.
She made it the whole way and high, and she didn't dirt it.
Wow. She was high when she showed up?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Super
no,
high.
She smokes a lot of weed.
The show's called Married. It airs Thursday nights at 10:30 on FX. It is so funny. This season, by the way, I mean, last season was great. This season, I think, is even better. I mean, I don't know if that's a thing that happens when you get the rhythm and the writers know what they're doing and stuff, but it's so relaxed and so fun, and you guys are really doing great work over there.
No, thank you very much. I agree. I do think it's... You know, when you get a season on your belt and people, you know, the writers are more familiar with your character. They know how to write for you. You're more familiar with your castmates. There's going to be the bell, isn't there? No, less so.
He didn't get
it. Why don't you let us handle the bell?
We're professionals. We don't try to write your show, okay?
I still want the bell.
And everybody still wants you and Judy to be married in real life when they meet you, right?
Yes, they do. It's
That's a compliment to your portrayal on television, because you guys look like a for real married couple.
I know. It's very... She takes it too far, though. She makes me, like, be her husband when we're on set and when we're off. Like, I have to carry her bags. I have to...
Yeah. Groceries for her.
Yeah. She takes it too far. But I'm sort of like the dumb puppy dog that just does it. So it's probably my own
fault.
She's
Judy Greer. So
she is Judy Greer.
She'll do what she says.
She's a national goddamn treasure. All right. Nat Faxon is here only because we couldn't get Judy. We'll take a break, come back with more with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
I don't feel like we needed to watch both of those.
I think Nat's feeling a lot better about throwing out a first pitch at a game now that he's seen your two efforts.
Boy, I tell you, that second one, that knee just buckles
hard.
Well,
I mean, it's sad if that's what you're saying.
I'm saying a lot more than that, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
Pathetic. Okay.
Nat Faxon is here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Of course, you know him probably best as an actor from the TV show Married on FX Thursday nights at 10:30. Hey, that means tonight, you guys. Nat is also an Academy Award winner. You and Mr. Rash, Jim Rash, wrote The Descendants, if I remember correctly.
Right? We did. Yeah. Believe it or not.
I just remember the night of the Oscars when you guys came out on stage. I was like, what? Those guys are hilarious. They're jumping up on stage instead of the real dudes who must have written that movie. We were just so surprised, especially Jim, because he's the freaking dean at Greendale. Like, how did that guy write a movie? You know what I mean?
I know. I see people on the street and they don't. Equate me with Academy Award. They equate me with, like, Beer Fest. They're like, that's that dude from Beer Fest! And I'm like, yeah, well, I did that, and I also did some other things. And they're like, no, it's just Beer Fest.
This is going to sound like a really dumb question, but I mean it sincerely, Nat, and I'm actually sincerely interested in it. Is it the type of thing that you forget about sometimes? Like, you go days or weeks at a time where it never crosses your mind? Or after you win an Oscar, is it something that crosses your mind, even if it's fleetingly, every single day?
It doesn't cross my mind all that much, to be honest, until I talk about it with other people, and then I sort of remember, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I did do that. It still feels, honestly, that surreal and that unbelievable in a sense.
I'd wear the Oscar on a necklace.
Right? Yeah.
I'd put a Flava Flav style necklace on.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I have it with me right now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. No, I have a special suitcase. Like, it's like an attaché case in the shape of the Oscar.
Like, you know, Oscar, what's weird? Cozy. That would be the best.
I asked a similar question. We had Buzz Aldrin on a few years ago, and I asked him a similar question. Once you've been to the moon, is it possible to ever, like, not think about that? Like, every single night, my whole life, I would look up and go, been there. You know what I mean? Like, I would never stop thinking about the fact that I stood on the moon. He said, no, it's not. He doesn't think about it.
That's,
you know what I mean?
So funny. You know, most of the time. After I won the Oscar, we went to that Vanity Fair party, and the first person I ran into was Buzz Aldrin.
That's a weird coincidence.
It was so bizarre. And we took a picture together, and I was like, this is the most effed up night of my life, honestly. Like, what is happening to me? You know, it was really cool. Something I obviously will never forget, but it does feel sort of like a dream in a sense. Like, you know, it almost didn't happen.
You guys, what did you write after that? You wrote another movie after that that was really good, too.
Yeah, we did the movie called The Way, Way Back.
That's right. So yes. Steve Carell. That was so good.
Yeah,
that was
really thank good. You.
Now, yeah. when you write a movie and you don't win an Oscar, is it kind of disappointing?
It is. Yeah. It's a total
people are going to go, failure?
Yeah, yeah. We did win the AARP Award, though, for grown-ups. Movie for grown-ups Award.
Okay.
So well, it's just as same. Good. It felt the same.
It's roughly the
know?
Same.
Yeah, yeah. It felt just as good.
All right. This is the voice of Nat Faxon again here on the Kevin Abid Show, talking about, among other things, his show Married tonight on FX, which is so funny, with America National Treasure, Miss Judy Greer. You said something on Conan the other night that I'd never heard you talk about before that I was interested in, too, and that is that you play in an adult hockey league.
I do.
And yes. you don't just play in it. You are serious about it. Now, you're not yeah. Canadian, right?
I'm not. No. No. Boston. Boston.
Right. I'm sorry. Where?
Yeah. Boston.
Oh.
Where'd your love of hockey come from? From growing up a Bruins fan?
Yes.
Let him talk. Put his mic back on.
He's literally dry heaving over there.
Look, I got to do what I got to do. Those are the rules.
Yes, I was a diehard Bruin fan growing up. You know, the Ray Bourque, Cam Neely era, and even before that. Rick Middleton, Barry yeah. Peterson. Come on, I can keep
come
going.
On. Keep going.
don't feel like you need to.
No, no.
Now, what people, position do you play?
I play right wing.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Obviously. And did you start as an adult or did you play as a teen?
No, I played as a kid.
Oh, wow.
We had a pond. Pond hockey was huge where I grew up. And we had a pond like on my street. So I would every day after school just walk down there with my skates and play pickup. And it was awesome. One of the things I do miss about living in Southern California is that not
sure.
you know, not having that. But yeah, I love it. I feel like I get all my aggression out on that in that hour every week.
How good are you?
I mean, I net some G's. Come on. You can say that, right? I can net some G's. No, I feel like I got to that point in high school where everybody then just started getting a lot better, and I just kind of stayed the same. Yeah, so then it just, you know.
When are you a physical presence? Is everybody afraid when you skate over their direction?
More
you're an enforcer?
More just because I'm a little out of control.
Okay. You might run into him on accident.
Yeah. No, I like to mix it up, but it's funny because I was saying on Conan, like, I have to wear the cage, and you can't. It's if you're wearing a cage, it's hard to be tough.
Sure.
People just are like, you're the biggest wussy in the world because you're wearing a cage.
But you're like, this is my moneymaker.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I can't.
But you're right. Like, I'm an actor. I have to.
So. And no one else does?
No, some people do. I probably would say half do and half don't, you know.
Right.
But I don't know. I think, like, just having a huge, you know, gash across your face from, like, adult men's hockey is a little sad, you know.
Why? I would go, yeah, hockey, what up?
He's an actor. That's his moneymaker.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I get to put on makeup every day. Yeah.
When you are a star, you know, when you're carrying a big hit to a TV show, are there a lot of things they don't allow you to do? I mean, is that an insurance thing? Like, you can't skydive or swim with sharks or anything crazy?
I think there are a lot of things, and I...
I like that you just don't think that.
Dude.
You don't have any idea. For real. You don't know for real.
No, I know.
Seems like there should be.
I did once long ago in my career, I played in a hockey game, and I got my mask, like, I was on a breakaway, and this guy and I were sort of like, he kind of pulled me down from behind on my way to score a goal, obviously.
Sure.
And I fell down, and I basically slammed right into the post of the net post. Ooh. And my whole cage that was all rusty anyway, like, exploded and went into my face.
Wow.
And I had a... Why does that get a ding? I don't know why we're celebrating that. Why? It's true.
It exploded.
It exploded. I don't get them.
Yeah.
I'm so slow on that.
It's better.
Well, you're the new guy. That's what it is. You'll get used to it.
But I did have, like, I had to go to the hospital and I had to get stitches and then I was supposed to shoot a car commercial the next day.
Oh,
and they made me send a picture of my face the next morning and they were like, how bad is it? And then they basically said, you can't ever come in here again.
Ever?
Yeah. So
because they were scared of you.
They were scared. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This league that you play in, is it Hollywood types? Is it other people in the business?
There are some in the league, less so, but in the I do some like pickup skates during the week, and there are the other night I played with a couple of guys that are Hollywood types.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Bruckheimer does a thing on Sundays, which I don't do, but there's a thing on Monday night that I do that has a few. I played against Taylor Kitsch the other night.
Nice.
Yeah. He's a good player.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey,
how has it been for you seeing the phenomenal success of the Kings and before that the Ducks in Southern California? Were you able to enjoy that at all, or just you can't get on board because you're still a Bruins fan?
No, I was on board with that, actually. There's being from Boston, there's, you know, I can't support the Lakers just because of their history.
Yeah, you can't. Sure. It's in your blood, right?
Right. And the Dodgers kind of a little bit the same, but I will support the Kings.
You'll accept the Kings.
I will, yeah, because I think they're a good team, and they're fun to root for, and I like their style of play. I'm, you know, upset that Milan Lucic is now
I just wanted to ask you about that.
So yeah.
I wanted to ask you about that. I'm so excited.
He's awesome, and he'll be great for the Kings. He fits their style
of play.
Great for
the community, too. He does so much with charities. It's going to be great.
Yeah, so I'm jealous that he's now here. But I do support them. I can rally around the Kings, and their success has been awesome, I feel like, for Southern California hockey.
That's cool. Yeah. Nat Faxon is here. We're almost out of time. Married airs tonight again. What are we up to? Episode, I want to say we're like at number 5 or something?
Maybe? Yeah, I think there's been 4, so this is probably 5 tonight.
Great season. You can see all of season 1 and is streaming on Hulu, but you should watch the new episode tonight at 10:30 on Fox. I think we have a clip, and this is where Judy's character, who is Lena, is that right?
Yeah.
She's having some trouble with the daughter, and, you know, teenage girls can be tough, and I think you hear about that in this scene.
Come here. Give me a hug. I love you.
Hey, what about me? Did you see that?
What?
You get a huge hug, and I get bitch face.
I think that's her regular face.
Yeah, when she hates something.
Come on. She doesn't hate you, and really, you can't be mad at her for bitch face.
Why not?
Because she got it from you.
What?
Yeah. Sometimes you make bitch face.
I do not.
Yeah, original bitch face. See? There it is.
I love that you almost always say the wrong thing to your wife on that show.
I know.
And
I know.
Somehow get away with it. It gives the rest of us hope, Nat.
It's true. It's fun when it's Judy Greer on the other end.
That's true. Great show. Great to see you again. We'll do it again in a year, my friend.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55.
Dr. Drew with his weekly visit on The Kevin and Bean Show coming up just after 9 this morning.
Not a real doctor.
He is a real doctor. I think that's confirmed. He did graduate medical school.
It has not been confirmed.
I think it has.
We're going to be talking about it. Has not been confirmed.
Talking about a topic very close to your heart, Kevin. So if you can, I'd like you to stick around and be part of that interview.
Maybe. Is it fireworks? Is it chocolates?
It's neither of those things.
Is it the show Boom?
You'll see. Because it's time for Boom.
Boom!
He said goggle up.
Goggle up, bitches.
First, though, Ralph is here with the show. He's been out on Thursday. What's happening?
It's a big trend in game shows.
To goggle up.
Goggles and stuff flying in your face. You know, that Hollywood Game Night that I enjoy so much over on NBC, which is actually a good game show.
Mm-hmm.
They have several games where stuff blows up in your face. One is popcorn, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
Another one is that there's a bowl in there, and you have to pick your clues out of this bowl, but the bowl is also filled with confetti, and it's got a high-pressure air canister underneath it.
Right.
And so when it goes back and forth between two players, you push the bowl back and forth to take your clues out, and whoever gets stuck with the bowl when that stuff blasts up in your face, that's the loser.
Rob, it doesn't sound like a good show, the way you're describing it. Just so you know.
Well, as I brought up yesterday, it involves fun.
Yeah, Bean doesn't like it.
And games and like hanging out with people and sort of camaraderie. Mm-hmm. And none of those things appeals to Bean whatsoever.
That's
it's
true.
It's not for Bean. It's a show that's not for Bean.
Okay.
If it were about a guy playing a game by himself alone in a cave with a small refrigerator full of chocolate milk, then that would be the show for you. But this involves people are drinking during it, and it's celebrities, and it's loud, and
they
it's a
party. They do seem to be having fun and getting along.
They're having an enormous amount of fun, which is really not up your alley at all.
I guess I just can't relate to it, I think is what it is.
That's what it is.
It's just too foreign.
Right. Speaking of Hollywood, how would you like to go to a Hollywood premiere?
Yay!
I've got a pair of passes. I've got 5 pairs of passes, actually, to the premiere of American Ultra, happening August 18th at the Ace Hotel. American Ultra in theaters everywhere on August the 21st, but you'll get to see it at the big premiere. Kristen Stewart, Jesse Eisenberg, Topher Grace, Connie Britton. Ooh. Great cast.
This looks great.
It looks like a great, great film. We're looking forward to this. It's about a stoner, works at a convenience store. Just a loser. Yeah, best case scenario for him, he wants to ask his girlfriend to marry him. That would be like the high end of his life. Until he gets activated, because the whole time he's been a secret sleeping government agent.
Like you do.
CIA decides he's a liability. They decide to take him out. But he's too well-trained. And too high. For them to take
mostly
on.
Mostly too high.
Both of those things. He's so high, he starts getting creative, kills creatively. It's the best of both worlds. It's a deadly stoner. Anyway, I can't wait to see this film. If you'd like to go, too, why don't you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. American Ultra, as I mentioned, in theaters everywhere on August the 21st. Well, the landscape of children's programming, as we know, it's about to change. HBO has picked up Sesame Street.
Huh.
Sesame Street for decades, of course, teaching kids about their numbers and letters and rubber duckies on PBS. Now will appear on HBO.
Waka waka.
So will it not be on PBS anymore?
Well, here's the thing. HBO gets first crack at it, and after they air the bejesus out of it, then they will provide it to PBS after 9 months of broadcasting.
Hmm.
So it's been disclosed now that PBS will run only half-hour episodes of Sesame Street in the fall, which is opposed to the full hour, which it had for years. So they say it's just because children's viewing habits are changing. Good. Let's encourage their lack of attention span, by the way, by diminishing Sesame Street and turning it to a half-hour show. Sesame Workshop will still produce the show, but now HBO will license the show, which will help pay for it, I guess. However, some people are saying, is it right that this show be placed behind a paywall? You know, I mean, HBO is a pay subscription service.
Yeah.
Kids won't have access to the new episodes of Sesame Street, at least for 9 months. So some people are speculating maybe it's not the way that kids' programming should be handled. But what are you going to do?
It's going to be adult language and nudity?
Big Bird needs some seed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think so. I think it's, HBO's going to be like, now, when you walk down Sesame Street, you take your life in your hands. And Oscar the Grouch pulls a shiv out and sticks it in your ribs.
Like gets Scorsese in there to direct.
Yeah, I like it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Danny Bonaducci, 56 years old today. He, of course, was little Danny on the Partridge Family, the little cherubic redhead. Mm-hmm. And then he grew up to be just a menace to society.
He had a rough patch with some substance abuse, and Don't we remember, Ralph, that he married his wife the day he met her?
That's right, one
of his wives.
Because she wouldn't have sex with me until we got married. So I did it. I got married on the very first day.
And that's a good strategy, right? Yep. That's a way to make sure a successful marriage occurs.
Actually, they were married for like the better part of a decade. I mean, they recently got divorced, but I mean,
so they did as well as people who date for five years before they get married.
Last as long as most relationships. Debbie Mazar, 51 years old today. Very funny and talented lady. And Sebastian Stan, you know him as Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier from the Captain America movies. He's dreamy, too.
Sure.
He's 33 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Just announced, first thing this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Mumford and Sons in town this week for two big shows at the Forum. They're also going to do a K-Rock show at the Troubadour on Wednesday. Go to KROQ.com for more details and a chance to win. And keep listening, your chance to call in for Mumford and Sons at the Troub. Tickets coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We have not caught up with our good friend Dr. Drew in a couple of weeks. He's a very busy man, co-hosting Loveline here on K-Rock. Dr. Drew on call on HLN and his weekday afternoon show on KABC. How are you, Doc?
I'm great. Good to talk to you guys.
Wanted to ask you about a couple things. First, you tweeted about Steve-O the other day. We were trying to get a hold of him after his arrest with the SeaWorld protest, and we couldn't get him. But you said something about him being in Fiji. Have you talked to him?
If you watch his Instagram feed, the morning after his arrest, he says, you know, out and on my way to Fiji. And next pictures are in Fiji. So I don't understand how you do that when you're on bail, but maybe been one of the criteria of bail.
Isn't it weird from what we know about Steve-O, and you've known Steve-O since he was a teenager, Dr. Drew, would you have expected that he's the kind of guy who would have grown up and would be doing, like, civil disobedience and protesting corporations?
We all know he's the kind of guy with a certain kind of energy, and that energy used to be used either nonsensically or not for good. And now he's directing it in productive ways. Come on now. It's all good. Listen, the really interesting thing about Steve-O, I got to tell you, if you remember back maybe 12 years ago, remember when he was on Adam Carolla's show, when he had an afternoon show on Comedy Central, and he came in wasted and broke a table and, and tackled Adam and knocked his chair over?
Yeah.
That was sort of his bottom. And I was it was near his bottom. And I was there at that show, and I was like, dude, we got to do something about this. And he goes, no, I'm not ready, but I promise you when I do it, I will go all the way. And I was like, all right, I've heard that one before. Well, lo and behold, when it came time, and by the way, when he got, it did hit his bottom, he was so close to suicide, I can't even tell you. And it was sort of suicide by similar kinds of gesture to what you just saw on top of the crane the other day. People that don't know what happened, he climbed a crane with a blow-up SeaWorld Shamu doll on his back and set off fireworks and got arrested. But when he hit that bottom, he got with the program and has been one of the most serious, most committed recovering people I've ever met and just been a true inspiration.
I know. We're so happy for him because we love that guy so much. And I remember back in the days of his MTV show, remember, where he would just lay in bed and just, like, he would smash things into the wall and he just would never – I mean, he went through that phase where he wouldn't leave his apartment at all. I mean, it really did – we were all expecting that terrible news one day.
Oh, you know? He got close. He got very close.
And, all right.
Knoxville saved his life, by the way. Knoxville called me and said, what should I do? And I said, listen, you've tied this guy up 100 times before. Get some duct tape, tie him up, throw him in the trunk and take him to a hospital right now. And Knoxville was like, okay. And that was that.
You don't want to tell Johnny Knoxville that, by the way.
Right. I know. Well, listen, I've told many, many people things like that, and the patients have ended up just dying because people won't do it. Knoxville did it, saved his life. The outcome was fantastic.
God bless Johnny Knoxville. Yeah. All right, let's talk about something else. You're in a little bit of hot water. You know, we were talking off the air, Dr. Drew, with as much media as you present every week, you're always going to tick somebody off. There's never going to be a show where somebody walks away completely satisfied with everything you've said. But you're into something now that's kind of weird. What's happening?
Well, you've just demoralized me, in fact, by framing this thing the way you just did. It's like, oh, God, you're right. I guess I have to come to accept this. But many mornings I wake up to Twitter threads that I can't understand, or people are infuriated about things that takes me a few minutes to sort of process and put together. Well, now the transgender community is up in arms and on the attack. I mean, they're mobilizing. It's like interesting watching them mobilize, like some sort of troop operation. First of all, let me just announce, everybody, if you're with a group that has a political agenda, know who your allies are. Don't alienate your allies. If your allies misstep or say something wrong, correct them. Help them do a better job. Don't destroy them. They're your allies, for God's sakes. I'm an ally.
They don't see you as an ally.
I'm an ally. Stop it, Kevin. Stop it.
No, I'm asked that was a question.
Well, I don't know. I didn't think so. I thought they did, and we did a reasonably sensitive show yesterday. It's going to air again today. I think it's like about 11 here locally. And we had a lovely trans woman on who was talking about these issues, and we were addressing the California murder kidnap inmate, this woman that was a murderer kidnapper who has been treated as a male to female transgender individual for the last several years and failing, keeps trying to commit suicide and auto castrate herself and all kinds of lovely things like that. And the physicians have recommended that she undergo gender reassignment surgery and be moved to a women's prison, just like Orange is the New Black. I mean, this is something we're not unfamiliar with.
Right. Okay.
Well, we're paying for it. Taxpayers are paying for it. So the question was, is it appropriate? When is medical care mandated? When does medical care appropriate? When does the taxpayer have to pay for medical care? And because people have trouble getting their head around what is medically appropriate when it comes to transgender treatment, I was defending it as medically appropriate. And just like any other medically necessary treatment, it wasn't like she hadn't tried other treatments. She failed them. It wasn't like they went right to – it wasn't like somebody off the street went, I'm transgender. I can't get this paid for. I know. I'll go to prison and get it paid for. No. She had been treated repeatedly and failed, and now they were desperate and trying something. And in the course of this conversation, one of my producers threw up on the screen a study from Scandinavia that suggested that the suicide rate went up after the gender reassignment surgery. And I went, isn't that interesting? What do we make of that? Are we really doing the right thing, even by doing the gender reassignment surgery?
So that's the first time you saw that stat?
I saw it just before the show.
Okay.
And I didn't know there was a giant screen coming up of it. The television filled with the data, this giant 17 times
right.
showed up on the screen. And they're saying that's transphobic. Just even have brought that study up.
So is the study not accurate?
I don't know. I didn't have a chance to evaluate the study.
Okay.
It doesn't seem consistent with a lot of the data out there, though there's some very good and well-done studies that do question, are we selecting the right people for the surgery because the outcomes aren't consistently good? That's all. It's science. It's just clinical science. We're just evaluating the data. That's all.
I feel like this is part of the issue, part of the problem is that people don't want to take the time or energy to research it, so they just go, wow, that sounds terrible, Dr. Drew's bad.
Thank you. But that's so true. It's everything on social media today. People go, hey, I'm feeling kind of offended by something you said. Boom, off they go. Know who your allies are, please, everybody.
We do have, there is a little bit of a mob mentality on social media. There's no question about that.
I'm not saying that is exclusive to the transgender community. That is what social media is. It's a primitive mob. I'm not saying transgender's mob. I'm saying that's what goes on social media. And it's interesting. I was talking to a journalist the other day. I said, you know, journalism 101 is don't incite a mob. Well, that horse is out of the barn, everybody.
Absolutely.
That's all that happens.
So, Dr. Drew, since you did that show yesterday, have you looked into or had your people look into the validity of that study? And if it turns out that that fact is incorrect, you'll address that on the next show, I imagine.
Well, it's funny you should say that. My next show is on Monday.
Okay.
I'm addressing it here instead. I'm assuming that data is wrong. Please help me adjust the data. Thanks, everybody. I would love to get some more accurate data out there as opposed to being attacked. It's frustrating. What can I say?
Understood.
But here's the deal. Today, we are taping and dedicating 2 one-hour shows to transgender issues. We wanted to deal with transgender and color because that's a little talked about, very serious issue. So here I am on the eve of dedicating 2 hours of television to those issues. So if you want to be a part of that, I don't know, actually, we know where you call. Check out the HLN website, I'd say, and you can come be part of that audience. We're filling the audience with transgender individuals, and we're going to let them talk about the struggles that they endure.
Gotcha.
And it's not like this is new for you. You've been on the forefront of bringing up these issues.
I wouldn't call it an advocate. I've been an interested observer. I've been wanting to. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by people. I don't really take positions. I don't judge people. And I think this is an interesting and a sort of a problem, an interesting issue that's arisen that is important. It's critical. It's saving lives, and I'm interested in. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Drew on Call airs Monday through Thursday night at 6 on HLN. You can hear him with Mike Catherwood on Loveline 5 nights a week on KROQ and weekday afternoons on 790 KABC as well. Dr. Drew, I'm glad we had a chance to get you back on. We missed you, buddy. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you. Bye.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:40.
Hey, should I talk about the thing here or talk about the thing at the end? What am I supposed to do here?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I think talk about the thing here, maybe.
Okay. Hey, K-Rock tomorrow, you guys, at the Hot Topic in Canoga Park. That's in the Topanga Mall from 1 until 3 o'clock. Stop on by. Score your tickets to see upcoming shows, including maybe the Foo Fighters, also Social D, Mumford & Sons, Rise Again, so much more. That's just part of what you got going on because the K-Rock 2015 summer sticker is out at all Southern California Hot Topic locations, and we're giving away a 2015 Dodge Challenger with that, a trip to see Muse in Mexico City, Hot Topic gift card worth $500. You can use the code on the back of the new sticker and enter at krock.com. But tomorrow, if you want to be there in person to win that, prizes, Canoga Park, Topanga Mall, starting at 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's up?
Well, more details about this upcoming TV reboot of Urban Cowboy. You may remember the John Travolta, Deborah Winger film that kind of kicked off the country western music revolution in this town.
Really remember much about
back
it.
In the 80s. It was everywhere. All Kevin, right. Come on.
Okay.
There's all kinds of country bars opened up. People were riding mechanical bulls and
boots
wearing
scooting boogies happening.
Beer, big belt buckles, and Lone Star beer, and hats. In major cities, major metropolitan cities, people were wearing goofy cowboy hats because of this freaking movie. Now
it
Fox
can all be
is putting it on
back
television,
to this movie.
Right to this
all
movie right. And its soundtrack, which was, for country music, what Saturday Night Fever was for disco.
All right.
Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love until men are that freaking song was on the radio everywhere you looked. Devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was way behind. He was in a bind. He was looking to make a deal. Freaking
I
rednecks.
Said so. Ralph Garman, one-man show.
I do, too.
Anyway, Fox is putting this rebooted TV version of Urban Cowboy on its network, and they've just announced the casting of the lead role will be popular Mexican actor Alfonso Herrera. Here's the thing. John Travolta played a rodeo circuit rider in the film, but he was whitey. Alfonso Herrera is going to play a Mexican rodeo circuit rider who's also a puppet for a drug cartel and is forced to flee Mexico after messing with the wrong people.
Did Donald Trump write this thing?
They're sending us, they're rodeo riders, they're drug dealers, they're rapists. And I'm leading.
Okay, it's got to be the Mexicans, right?
I'm leading. That's why. Because people know I tell the truth. So now we know. It's going to be a little bit of a drug dealer kind of thing, a little Mexican, a little rodeo riding. And I hope they put it, looking for love in all the wrong places.
They switch it to drugs.
Looking for drugs in all the wrong places.
I'm in.
As long as they don't replace Boom with it.
Oh, no. There's always, always room for Boom. More TV news. ABC has announced a brand new comedy series called House Sitters starring Michael Bolton. Yeah, you heard me. We're not playing Mad Libs. This is a real news story. You'll be starring in and the executive producer of the new comedy, which is described as a modern-day Three's Company meets two broke girls. We don't need either of those, by the way. We don't need a modern-day Three's Company. We don't need another two broke girls. Go back to the drawing board. Take Michael Bolton and looking for Lair. Put him in that show instead so I can ignore this all at once.
Put all the bad in one show.
Devin went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul steve.
Remember, you used to always say that you could write a hit country song.
Easily.
I think really it's about time to do that.
Just I don't know why you don't do it then. There's so much money to be made.
Take all the words from those songs and just cut them up and then put them in a bowl and just pull out. Okay. Love, truck, cow,
drinking,
horse, bar. Beer, punch. Just to put it in. And then you just tape them together on a piece of paper and sing it. I punched my dog when I was drunk in my truck. Boom. Hit. Country music.
So you're a fan.
Bill Cosby's in the news. Gloria Allred introduced three more women at a press conference yesterday who accused Cosby of sexually victimizing them. Colleen Hughes, she was a stewardess on a flight heading to Los Angeles in the 70s when Bill Cosby gave her a glass of champagne and she woke up several hours later confused and realizing that she had been sexually assaulted. Linda Ridgway White Deer was an actress who apparently was sexually assaulted by Cosby while she sat in a chair awaiting an audition, and Eden Turl actually appeared on The Cosby Show. She was cast in the 1980s, and when she got left and alone in a room with Cosby, that's when he sexually harassed her. All these women and their depositions will be added to evidence in a case filed by Judith Hill that Cosby has been ordered to give a sworn deposition regarding on October the 9th. So he will have to face, at least he'll have to listen to these women and their complaints and their allegations against him, and we'll have to wait and see what his reaction is.
So what's the worst that can happen to him? If he admits he's culpable, even if it's past the statute of limitations, can they still sue him civilly maybe?
I think that's what this is. This lawsuit is a civil lawsuit. It's not a criminal lawsuit, obviously. It's a civil lawsuit by this Judith Hill, who Gloria Allred is representing. And I think she wants to sue him into bankruptcy. So,
And I
support that.
And I think knowing no more than what you've said on the air, Ralph, that if he just gets up there and says she's lying, it didn't happen, as unbelievable as it is, it would be very difficult to prove that it did.
Well, you don't need proof in a civil lawsuit. That's the beauty of that. You just need the preponderance.
You need a preponderance of evidence, though. But if it's he said, she said, and there's literally no other eyewitness or literally no other evidence of somebody who was there, I don't know how you rule against somebody who's
been
accused.
If you're on the jury and 43 women get up and say, this is what this guy did to me, and they express it in specific detail,
yeah,
I think any reasonable jury would find in honor of the plaintiff.
I've never seen anything like this. And reality is the situation.
Right. If he gets up there and says that, it'll be a very short trial. Because I say, what the hell does that mean?
I like to see all bad things happen to him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Bean apparently is on his side. So that's what we find.
I want to see.
It's very clear that Bean is
I'm with you guys.
Cosby.
I want to see him bankrupt.
You want the jury to find in favor of Bill Cosby.
I don't
you said
at all.
As much, and we all take umbrage.
I agree. Asshole.
Right.
Any
that
reasonable,
right? Aren't you? Is that right? Yes, young lady. You're absolutely
any
right.
Any reasonable that's, jury Bean will conclude right, that Cosby did it. I'm just saying for each individual case, you couldn't prove it. But you're saying put them all together. That's the beauty of a class action suit, is you don't have to prove any one case.
Well, this isn't a class action lawsuit. This is Judith Hill's lawsuit. But the testimony of these other women is being allowed into evidence as showing state of mind towards Cosby and his behavior.
Gotcha.
Judges have allowed that to happen. So they will be able to enter in all these other women's stories to evidence for the Judith Hill case.
Lawyers, man, right?
Now, while you're contributing to the Cosby Defense Fund, Bean, just keep in mind.
I'm not doing any of
this. This is what's happening.
And I want to see him fry.
No.
I want him and Brady to be in the same electric chair.
How dare
to be on his lap when they flip the switch.
In the very same obvious, sentence with Cosby.
It's very obvious your support for Bill
Cosby.
You're
a horrible
man. Frankly, we're all offended. This woman especially over here, she doesn't think.
Asshole.
She doesn't think you're a good person at all. We all agree with her. That's just a woman on the street we just passed.
That's
how do you feel about Bean's defense of Bill Cosby? And she said,
asshole.
Right, and we said, that's how I feel.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Today's celebrity birthday is Danny Bonaducci's 56 years old today. Actress Debbie Mazar turns 51. And Sebastian Stan, you know him as Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier in the Captain America films. He's got a big role to play in Civil War, babe.
Does he?
Wait till you see it. Wait till you see it. He's 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Amy, I think you say her name, Gion?
She's asking us as if we know?
She's going to tell us all about the pole dance fitness finals.
Sorry, what happened?
Yes, the pole dance fitness finals.
That's the best way to get fit,
it is,
to work the pole.
That's right. That's tomorrow morning. We have Michael Schneider from TV Guide talking about new TV shows and returning TV shows.
Boom! Hopefully he's coming back. Hope he's got good news about Boom.
Goggle up, because it's time for Boom.
Goggle up, bitches. I want to get a t-shirt made.
Talking about World Poker Tour with Mike Sexton and Vince Van Patten, we have Ice Cube on the program tomorrow.
Ding, 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 ding.
Nope.
Again,
nope.
Vanilla Ice. Not the same guy.
This is Ice Cube.
He stabbed a guy, right?
NWA.
No. With this wooden hand.
He had a wooden hand and he stabbed a guy.
The movie beat is tomorrow because it's Friday and the great Kevin Bean Burpoff. So that is all.
Yeah, I'm calling it sick.
The burp off's going to be all
I'm
time.
Sick. I'm already
it's going to be
sick.
All time.
I'm sick.
It's going to be Hall of Fame caliber.
I'm sick.
Of all of us,
Bye-bye.
Who do you think is most excited about this? Bean.
Yeah.
So weird.
The Cosby apologist.
I'm not a Cosby apologist at all. I just had legal questions. That's all.
Look, asshole.
The burp off is going to be great, you guys. Trust us on this.
No, it's not, really.
It really is.
How could it be great? Is it going to be people burping? On the radio? Is that what's going to be happening?
I mean, on the face of it,
can't be great, then.
You could just describe it as
by
that.
By definition, can't be
but
great.
But I think
just go on the air tomorrow and say, you know what? We're out. We're out of things
we're
to talk
not
about.
Out at all.
We're bumping good stuff so that we can put this
we're
in.
We're out of things to talk about. We're out of things to do. We're down to burping on the radio. Just say that instead and be honest with people.
Instead of lying
and saying this is going to be good.
First of all, it's going to be great. Second of all, people get invested in a competition. Look, you don't care about a lot of things. I mean, people will bet on arm wrestling. They don't care about arm wrestling, but they like to see the drama and the
struggle.
Do you
think people are going to be betting at home on our burping?
And do you think drama will result from people burping?
I do.
You
I think so.
Are
because,
an idiot.
Because I think listening for certain people, they'll be surprised by certain people. Like, I think I wouldn't count out Ally McKay just because she's a chick. I mean, she can bring a powerful burp, which, by the way, we're subjected to quite often here in the studio.
Well, that will result in drama and wagering and excitement.
By the way, you're the judge on the burp off tomorrow.
I will not even be here.
You can't call
So don't bother. Don't worry about it because I won't be here.
9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Got
judge
a thing.
Ralph.
Got a
judge
thing
Ralph
do.
And the burp off.
Got that root canal I scheduled.
The K-Rock Showbiz Beat is brought to you by Warner Brothers.